Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTM Worldwide Radio. This is Around the ATL. It is the first day of December 2022. 646-652-4479 is the number. We haven't said that number in a long time. This is actually our first show, live show, in months, actually, unfortunately. But if you've been missing Around the ATL, I have been doing a little mini show called Side Notes. So if you get a chance, make sure if you're following IMTM Worldwide Radio, go check out the Side Notes program that I've been putting up periodically, topic-based. The most recent one was about Kevin Huerter. And the first 20 games of the regular season for the Atlanta Hawks, plus 14 games of them losing by 13 points or less. The video before that, I actually talked about discipline and leadership and winning. So definitely go back and watch those videos. Want to say a shout out to everybody who's following, who follows on Twitter and will be watching hopefully tonight and or the recorded show after. And of course, those who are already following IMTN Worldwide Radio, hopefully you tune in tonight, but also some who follow us on the Facebook page side of things, New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, We Are the G, Savage Dogs of UGA, the Atlanta Braves fan pages. I think I follow like three of those. Falcons Nation, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, and, you know, everybody who's been a fan of the show for years. Also, again, just a reminder, if you're following the IMTN Worldwide Radio YouTube channel currently, and you happen to call into the show or you message into the show because the messenger is always open, you'll be eligible to win a ticket to an Atlanta Hawks game or a College Park game for the Skyhawks, or maybe a free shirt from the Originative brand. Speaking of, make sure you visit the Originative brand on Instagram. I'll go ahead and pop that page up there. They're responsible for the new Around the ATL logo that you see up there in the corner. Which way am I going? Right there. And they originally did the logo for Around the ATL when I started the show a few years ago. So make sure you go visit them. They create some great items on the apparel side that's Atlanta-centric when it comes to sports or anything else that you might want. But definitely if you're a Hawks fan, Braves fan, Falcons fan, Dogs fan, anything you want, they can make it for you. Make sure you go to the Originative brand on Instagram. Make sure you let them know that Around ATL sent you. Make sure you do that. But as I mentioned, 646-652-4479 is the first live show we've done in a while. Make sure you follow on Twitter, IntellectATL, or Jordan23ATL on Twitter. That's my co-host of the show. Now, Mr. Jordan Jackson, he will be joining us in a little bit. He's a little tied up at the moment. So what we're going to do, I have a plan. I have a plan for this. So one of the things I want to make sure that people are reminded of is the fact that we've had some great interviews over the years. I'm going to see if this works or not, but we've had a lot of different interviews. So one of the things I want to do as Jordan gets ready to come onto the show and we get started officially is remind people some of the people we've had on the show as guests. Now, I've not done this before, so I don't know if it's going to work. So to not risk it not working, I'm going to do this. I'm going to mention some of the people that we've had on and then show you who I'm talking about, okay? So first and foremost, a couple of years ago, I did our two-year anniversary show, and I had some legends in the broadcast game come on the show back-to-back. Bob Rathman, Steve Holman. If you know who they are, Bob, of course, does the broadcast for the Atlanta Hawks games on television on Bally's. And, of course, Steve Holman, Hall of Famer, 92.9 The Game. He broadcasts all the Hawks games. He's not missed a game yet, folks. So the reason I'm doing that pause, I don't know if you still hear me when the picture goes up, but make sure you go back. You can listen on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker. You can call out Alexa, Amazon Music. You can listen to some of those past interviews with Mr. Bob and Steve. They've been on our show plenty of times. I am planning to have both of them on this year as well. It's been a while, so be looking out for that. We've also had the legend, Mr. Jerome Jerinovich, on the show. Okay. He was on the show a few months ago. It was a great interview. He gave us some really cool stories that I know I've never heard before. You know, Jerome used to prelude Hawks Live and Braves Live for like 15 years, and he was on the show around the ATO. Another guest was John Collins, starting power forward of the Atlanta Hawks. He's been on our show before. That was a pretty exciting interview. This was prior to him signing his extension, actually. The year before, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals as well. So it was really insightful, some of the things that he talked about. So go and you can go check that interview out. I'll probably will repost all of these as I'm going through them and whatnot. Another interview we've had this year, Mr. Rashad Phillips, a.k.a. Yoda. He was a really cool interview because, of course, he knows everything that you need to know about the guys coming up through the college ranks going to the NBA draft. So if you want to go back and listen to that interview, he talked about some players that the Hawks, I'm not going to give the whole interview away, but go check out Rashad Phillips' interview on Around the ATL. Another former guest, Ms. Tanitra Batiste. Now, she has a foothold in regards to the Atlanta Hawks as an analyst, an in-game analyst, but also she's a broadcaster herself. Her and Jarvis have their own show. So you know who Jarvis is from 92.9 formerly. So she really was a fun interview because she knows a lot about basketball, but she also knows a lot about sports in general. So we had some real in-depth discussions, obviously, about the Atlanta Hawks at the time. And this was, I think this summer we had her interview. So go back and listen to Ms. Tanitra Batiste. She also does color commentary with The Dream as well. So go check that out. Another former guest, now he was a little bit more recent, Mr. Marvin Freeman, former Atlanta Brave, was on the show. Now he was talking about his foundation and coaching baseball. Did you know that he actually coached the rookie of the year, Michael Harris? Did you know that? I didn't know that at the time. So go back and listen to that particular interview. That was really cool. Last but definitely not least, we have the Hall of Famer Dominique Wilkins on the show. Now, this was, I think, 3 years ago. He was actually about to get on the plane to go to Detroit, which was the home, the season opener back then. And you can almost hear the plane in the background and everything. But he took time out. I think it was maybe 10, 15 minutes to talk to us on Around the ATL. We talked about Hawks. We talked about Hawks versus Celtics. We talked about Larry Bird. We talked about the new Hawks. We had a great discussion. So I just wanted to go through some of those to let you know some of the people we've had on the show. And we've had others. We've had Angel McCautry. We had, at the time, head coach of the year of the WNBA, Nikki Collin, on the show, the Atlanta Dream. We've had so many people on the show over the years. So, again, we do talk sports, but we also get to talk to people who are in sports, which is pretty cool, right, and directly related to sports. So, again, if you've never listened to Around the ATL in the past, definitely, like I said, you can go back and listen to past episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, all those different platforms. Alexa, you can also listen as far as that goes as well. Now, that being said, I thought I had stalled him just enough for Jordan to come on, but he's not there just yet. So we'll go ahead and get started. Now, tonight, the plan is to do a two-hour show. We hadn't done a two-hour show in a while. We'll see if that works out or not. But what we'll go ahead and do, let's see if we can get this to work. You know what? I'm thinking about something why it might not work, but we're going to try it anyway. We hadn't done the intro. Oh, that's what it was. Oh, my bad, y'all. So let's go ahead and introduce our co-host for the show tonight. I knew it was something I was forgetting. Let's go ahead and bring him in, Mr. Jordan Jackson. Jordan, can you hear me, sir?
Hey, this isn't Jordan. This is John. Now, is Jordan supposed to be coming on another line?
Yeah, and that's why I said this might not work. So let's do this. Let me put
okay,
you back on.
I'll tell you what, I'll get off.
No.
Okay.
Call back.
Okay, I'll call back.
All right. That's what I was waiting on. I forgot that Jordan was calling in tonight. So I've just now checked for the first time because I was about to do the Hawks intro. Saw that was somebody on the line. I couldn't remember Jordan's number. The magic of live radio, people, is terrible sometimes. Okay, so that being said, now I know Jordan is not joining us just yet. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the first segment, which is the Atlanta Hawks. We have a lot to talk about. So, again, if you have not called into the show before, go ahead and do that now, 646-652-4479. And, of course, you can also message us on the IMTN Worldwide Radio page. And but in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and let's see if we can – I can't even find the intro right now. This is wonderful tonight. Let's see if we can get this going. So let's see what we're going to talk about with the Hawks. Now, of course, month of November, near the end of it, was very eventful, correct? As we can see, some of the teams that we played, and we know the Houston game, we know the Philly game, we know the Miami Heat game, we know all that transpired in those particular three games, right? And, you know, we just, you know, beat the Orlando Magic. And as I mentioned on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter at IntellectATL, some folks are getting a little bit too hype about that particular win. We were supposed to beat them like that, all right? We only beat them by 10 game two of the season, okay? We were supposed to beat them like that, no matter what, okay? Five-win team, okay? But again, like I said, we let a three-win team come back and beat us after we were up 16 points. And then they were also shorthanded. And then we let another team beat us that was also shorthanded. Jimmy Butler wasn't playing. And then we let another team beat us without James Harden and Maxey. You know how Maxey likes to kill us, and he wasn't in the game either, or James Harden, okay? And we have leads, and we can't keep them, you know? Now, of course, immediately on our minds right now is John Collins is hurt, right? I think he's gone for approximately 2 weeks or so. Give or take, and also Hunter looks like he's going to be gone for at least a week. So what are we going to do? What can be done in regards to now we're going to be shorthanded officially? Plus, we have some guys banged up too, you know, so that's going to be a little bit of a concern, you think, right? But maybe not. But what do the Hawks have to do to start winning consistently? What has to happen, you know, past the injuries, past all the other things that are going on? Because the thing of it is this, and I'll say this right off the bat before I get started with what I was going to talk about, is that all these other teams that are shorthanded are beating us. So they're doing something, right? So that can't be an excuse is my point. We can't beat Orlando like we did, and then go play our next game, and then it is as if we didn't even play yesterday, right? Or can we? Because remember a couple of weeks ago, we beat the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee straight up, played pretty much a flawless game, and then go and have Boston come in the night that Jeezy comes in there, Mr. Snowman himself. And as I keep joking, you got ladies of the night walking around and guys with fur coats on. It was just like an Outkast video, you know. It was crazy, right? Scene so thick, just smoky. Even though it was supposed to be smoky, it was smoky. I don't know what was going on. And I was just walking around. I wasn't even sitting at my feet yet. But we got beat by 30 that night, though. as if that Milwaukee game didn't even exist. It was like we time traveled into a different portal. And I actually came to Atlanta for that game. I have a season ticket package. That was one of them. That is not what I anticipated coming 2 hours away to watch the team do that. That was pretty disheartening. I'll just say it like that. So what has to happen for this team to play on a general scale with the talent that we do have? Because you know what my contentions have been, right? That we don't block out. We can't rotate properly. We don't call out switches. We don't know when to stay with man or when to switch. We overhelp all the time. We don't get back on defense. And the numbers are all proving that out. And then on the offensive side, we don't have offensive sets. Somebody wanted to try to basically convince me that there's no need to have players with actual play. And I'm like, all the other teams have a play for their guys multiple times, multiple ways to make sure that their guys get the ball in their best spots on numerous occasions. But on our team, now we just got to ISO everybody and shoot three-pointers all night. That's just not winning basketball. Last night, we moved the ball around and people touched the ball. That's what the commentators keep saying, right? Our guys keep saying everybody needs to be moving. Everybody needs to be touching the ball. And the moment we don't do that, we get beat, and we get beat handily, don't we? Like, we lost 39 games last season. I don't know why this is still a point of contention. We wouldn't have made the playoffs if it wasn't for the new format. We were in ninth place. We had to win two games to get into the playoffs to watch us get beat by Miami because Kevin gave us 12 points, 4 points, 13 points, 9 points, and 8 points in that playoff series. If we had had Kayvon, because we all mad that he gone, right? But you should be mad that he didn't help us out in that playoff series with Hunter. So we would have won that series, I believe. With Hunter doing what he was doing, Kevin giving us 18, 19 as well, I think we still would have won that series. Now, another thing, point of contention, I'm still not even gotten to where I'm going to get to yet. Can't have players shooting us out the game on a regular basis. It keeps happening. You can't do that. And see, the other thing that happened last night, you continue to see that we got some other players that can come in the game. So you can't keep saying, oh, well, we just have to have the player out there. No, you can't keep rewarding minutes to players who are either doing what the coach tells him not to do, or the player is just unaware, doesn't have the self-awareness that he's hurting his team. You can't have a player go 4-for-17 and think that's a good thing. You can't have a player go Trey can't keep doing 2-for-11 from three. He got away with it last night because of who we were playing. He can't go 2-for-11 against the Nuggets and think we're going to have a shot to win that game, shorthanded especially, don't y'all think? Trey should have had 20 assists last. Trey should have 15 assists every night. Trey is about to pass Magic Doggone Johnson with 30 and 10 games in his career. The Hawks would dominate if we would finally gear the offense around one of the best passers in the game. We would just move. If we would just move around. If we would just cut to the basket. Trey will find you. He wants to find you. I said that during summer league. I said Trey's trying to get 20 assists out there in summer league. He doesn't have the players to match up to his passing. That's all that was. Again, players can't bench themselves. If the player is unaware that he's hurting the team, the coach has to say, hey, and put in Trent Forrest or put in Jarrett Culver, who had 9 points and 12 rebounds. You can't tell me that he can't do it. As a team, we still don't know the basics of basketball, or we know them and we won't utilize them. That's not good. Right? It's not good. So with John being out for 2 weeks, Hunter out for a week, other players banged up, what are we going to do on a week-to-week basis? Trey needs help, right? He got to have the help, and we have the players that can help him, but are they being put in the best position to succeed? That is the ultimate question as far as that goes. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Call into the show, 646-652-4479. John, hopefully you call back. But in the meantime, looks like I do have my co-host to join me now. So let's go ahead and bring in, well, let's wait a second now. Live radio. There we go. Let's go ahead and bring in Mr. Jordan Jackson to the show. Jordan, what's going on, man? Thank you. 646-652-4479. I actually had broke down some of the people we had as guests as a filler as I was waiting for you as well, just to kind of remind people some of the guests we had. And then, like I said, I started talking about what we might talk about. I tried, man. I said I was prepared tonight, right? So I had pictures and everything. I wasn't even playing. So as I was mentioning, you know, can the Hawks play 500 ball with these immediate injuries that have occurred? And I was mentioning how, you know, we beat Orlando, but a lot of people are kind of making it as if we're okay now because we beat Orlando like we beat them. And I'm like, but wait a minute, Orlando is a 5-win team, you know, and we were supposed to beat them like that because we hadn't been doing it in the past. And, you know, I actually want to mention Glenn Willis on Twitter, because one thing I saw him post a video, and it was showing how, well, the reason the Hawks stand behind the 3-point line is to make it easier to where when the pick and roll starts happening, we get some passing lanes and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, but wait a minute. If that's the case, that's not working. You want to know why? Because all the other teams in the NBA have better discipline and they don't overhelp. They know our guys, they know this because they watch film. They know our guys are not going to move away from that 3-point line, which means if they stay with their man, there is nobody you can pass to, which means if the pick and roll doesn't work, and we only do the pick and roll, we don't do the pick and pop like I've been telling people in the past, that means we either have an errant pass that usually turns into a turnover, and or it's a really not great shot, which means the other teams end up getting it. They go down to the court, and they're and-one-ing it on us. And that's how we end up blowing a lot of leads because, again, since we don't move the ball, we come up the court, we dribble, shot, and that's it. And it doesn't work. Because if it was working, we wouldn't have the record that we do have right now. So that's just one thing I wanted to bring up, just a multitude of things that, again, right now we're not pacing as if we're a better team than last year, and we should be. And that's a scary thought. And the fact that we had lost three straight games losing 16-point or more leads, that actually happened. We watched it happen. So what needs to happen now? Can it happen? Because it needs to happen pretty quick. Can we? What needs to happen, Jordan? What needs to happen? I'm not talking about pick and pop with the Suns. I'm talking about with John, who can hit all those shots. But go ahead. One of the things that I mentioned on a different page was the fact that, actually, no, I posted it, that we need to be able to, all the other teams through the decades have put their players in the best position to succeed, okay? John Collins shoots 78% from 0 to 5 feet, okay? He needs to be getting the ball a little bit more there. That's higher than anybody on the team, including Clint, who shoots 59% from that same distance, and even Double O, who shoots 71%, which is very high. But we've had a lot of games. Okay. And then for John, 10 to 15 feet, He hits half of his shots at any given time. But here's the deal. From 0 to 5 feet so far this year, John has 3 shots a game. And 10 to 15 feet, he has less than 1 shot a game. But he's regulated to shoot threes all the time, which right now he ain't hitting. So why not get him hitting the shots that he can hit so we can score instead of putting up shots that he's not hitting? See, that's where it goes back to you can't keep letting people keep missing shots that they're not hitting rather than putting them in a better position to hit the shots that they can hit. Clint ain't out there shooting threes. How come nobody's cussing everybody out that Clint ain't shooting three-pointers? It's the new age basketball, right? Clint Capella has not shot a three-pointer all year, and he never will. Why? Because he can't hit them. What in the world? I'm sorry, John. I saw you. I was about to bring you on. So call back if you can. Mr. John Harris, representing ATL. We'll get him on the show soon. That being said, what can we do? What's going to have to happen? You know, Jarrett Culver got into the game per injuries. It looks like that was the only way he was going to get in, apparently. And he had a pretty decent game. He had 9 points. He had 12 rebounds. And one of the things about rebounding is it's all about effort. And if we would just block out a little bit, a lot of these leads that we keep losing wouldn't be losable leads because we would actually keep the possession arrow on the right side for a change, okay? And, of course, if we actually ran some plays that actually the players would be more proficient in, you would offset the other team being able to come back in the game as well. Because when you're actually running an offense and you're actually, let me go ahead and do it. I haven't done it in a while, so let's go ahead and do it right now while I'm thinking about it. Four times. And really in the NBA, it could be even more. Again, everybody was watching the Golden State Warriors play the other night. And seeing the ball moving around and players moving around and people cutting and everything like that. Do y'all know if we were to do that, we would almost not be beatable as a team because nobody could focus on the one player no more, right? But we help other teams beat us by being singular like that. 646-652-4479. Thanks for all who are watching live, wherever you might be watching from, Twitter, Facebook, or the IMTN Worldwide Radio page. Remember, if you're watching the IMTN Worldwide Radio page and you're subscribed to the page and you happen to call in or message us during the show, you become eligible to win a Hawks ticket to an upcoming Atlanta Hawks game, a College Park Skyhawk game, or a shirt from the Originator brand. So make sure you're doing those things and you never know. Let's see if Mr. John has not called us back yet. So Jordan, with these games coming up, I know we play Denver. We have OKC, I think, coming up. I think we have the Nets coming up. We have all these teams coming up. Can we go 500 until we get a couple of our starters back? What has to happen? Who's going to be taking some of the brunt of the pressure? Basically, are we going to play as a team like we did the other night and everybody touched the ball? Everybody was in the flow of the game? Or are we going to try to have just two players scoring 50 points apiece and we get beat by 25? What do you think? 646-652-4479 is a number indeed. When Bogey comes back, it's definitely going to be a boost, but we're going to need, again, a team effort. We got a caller back on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us where you're calling from and your name, please.
Yes, this is John from the great state of Atlanta, city of Georgia.
Hey, man, you almost messed up, man. I almost said we were in the same country like that other person did the other day. But anyway, welcome to the show. Just saying. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. What's up, Jordan? Can Jordan hear me?
I think Jordan is frozen.
See, something was going on. That's why I wasn't able to call you because I wasn't able to get in. And I called you on two different lines. I don't know what's up.
Oh, that's Interesting. Well, go ahead with your point, John.
Okay. Last I was hearing, you were talking about the Hawks. If that's still the subject, yeah, that's what
yes.
I wanted to holler. Because, man, I tell you, this has been a roller coaster. And the part coming off of the top, I didn't know when we were going to hit bottom. I don't know if we hit bottom yet or not. But I tell you, I am giving good bit of slack because of the fact that Trae Young now has some reliable help in DeJounte Murray. Now, the issue I'm going to bring up is the fact that both of them are young. And when I say the word young, I mean a little bit immature. Nate is going to have to really rein both of them in because what I saw in that Houston game, the cockiness in the third quarter when the game isn't even over with and you weren't even sure you were going to win the game, when you lose a game like that, when you're doing stuff like that, people remember what it was that they saw during the game, especially old school folk like me, because I know that the people who were coaching me and the people who I played ball with, you know, they will remind you that very easily you can lose everything within a matter of 5 or 10 minutes of inattention, 5 or 10 minutes of cockiness, showboating, or whatever. And at the end of the game, you're going to look real dumb. You're going to look real stupid. So, I've been participating in some after the game recaps, things of that sort. And most of the emphasis is on Trae Young. You know, why are you taking these shots? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And I've had to remind these people that Trae Young is the only reason that this team is on the map, period. Okay. Trae Young and what he has done and his heroics and the time that he's been here is the reason that you're on the map. So I give Trae Young kind of a pass for certain things that he does. Now, I still criticize him, you know, want to explain to him exactly what you're supposed to be doing out there. But the three-point shots, I mean, Ice Trae became – legendary to a certain degree, you know, and he's young, too young to be a legend, but yeah, you understand what I'm saying. People are looking at him. They are looking at him. People, the same way, you know, I was beginning to sense that a following for Trae was kind of like the following for Steph, because it shows that you don't have to be 6'9", 7 feet, 6'6", and all of that to be able to function in the NBA. You know, it's showing that the little man has a say. And
well,
because of that, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, well, first of all, it seems that some of our listeners on the YouTube channel actually can't hear you for some reason. I'm not sure why. I just got a message that is basically just me staring at the screen waiting for you. But that's okay. But see, I'm on the phone. I can hear. Okay, so now Jordan says he can hear you. But I want to mention something to what you were saying, though, just to kind of catch up with the fans who might not have been hearing what you were saying in regards to you do still have a young factor, excuse the pun, in regards to maturity, I guess, between Murray and Young and the other players and things of that nature. And like you said, Trae Young is the guy who put us on the map. A lot of people still don't want Trae Young here, by the way. All I know is that there's still the element of if he is – actually, I'll use what Jordan said one time. Jordan said, you know, there's a time for things and there's time to win. And winning time is the fourth quarter. So, the like you said, you would give him a pass a little bit on his shot selection and things of that nature because he has given us some heroic moments and things of that nature. But the fourth quarter sometimes – you got to peel back. Some of those threes from half court, they're just not necessary, because those are the rebounds that the other team gets and goes back down the floor and get and ones on. So that's how you lose those 16-point leads a lot of times. Him and Murray, we don't pass the ball. You know, we're just chucking it up. And at a certain point, if those chucks don't go in, it's not great. And that Houston game also was, like you said, the trash talking. Trash talking ain't nothing wrong with that, but you got to be able to back that up. And so to lose a game like that in that vein, it was a bad look, period. And that's also where, again, as I mentioned, the coach is the only one that can subside that. You know, when you see a player missing a lot from a particular area, it has to be an instruction given to say, hey, I need you to come in. I need you to drive. I need you to drive and kick. We can't really drive and kick, though, because nobody on the outside of that three-point line ever moves to be kicked too. That's a problem. I've been saying that for years now, right? But at least try to do that, because an easier two is better than a harder three any time of the day. There's too many teams that do that to us, right? And so at a certain point, if the players are unaware or they don't have the self-awareness that they are putting their teams in a bind, the coaching staff has to be able to make that adjustment. And as I mentioned, we do have enough players to say we can subsidize some of these minutes, because at a certain point, you can't keep rewarding minutes for bad play. It doesn't matter who the player is. I've been saying that for the last 5 years for this particular squad. If it's Hunter, if it was Kevin, if it was Bogey, if it was Gallo, if it was Lou, if it was John, if it was Trey, if it was Hunter, if it was Clint, it didn't matter who it was. At a certain point, if you're playing like trash, you got to come out for a little bit. Put somebody else in. I don't care who. Put somebody else in and let them play with a little bit more energy and effort. Because if that's the only thing that's doing it, well, that's what we need at that particular time, right? And so I want to see the team win. I don't want to see the team scraping by. I don't want them to just barely be making it. This team is too good to just be barely making it, especially after a year like last year. Last year, I said it again, the things that happened last year were supposed to be fixed. We had a whole offseason to negate the things that are happening now between the offense and the defense. And we haven't, nothing has been addressed, because we can see it on the court. We don't block out. We don't get back on defense. We overhelp. We can't switch. We can't rotate. These are basic things. And we don't have an offensive structure to coincide with the talent we have on this team. But all the other players on all the other teams do. And I don't think that's cool for us anymore, because I think we're wasting talent. We wasted a year of Trey leading the league in points and assists last year, and basically nobody knows it. There's only one other player who's ever done it ever. Trey's done it. And right now, Trey is a couple of games away from going past Magic Johnson in history of the NBA in total of 30-point games, 10-assist games. Trey's been playing for this many years. I'm on the radio. I'm putting up my hand. There's five on there, right? And so for me, it's a matter of, it would be better if we could actually fit a system around your best player like all the other teams do with Magic or Jordan or Bron and all these others, or in other sports. Peyton Manning, you heard that name before? Tom Brady. Tom Brady ain't out there running around. Tom Brady has never ran for 200 yards in a season, I'm pretty sure, almost, right? Why? Because he don't have to. Because you know what he does do well? Get the ball to people. That's what he does. Right? And so why would you want to fix everything around that so you win? They have a track record of winning over there in New England, right? Because that particular coach said, we're going to do it my way or it's the highway. I'm going to put you in this position. You're going to do your job. And if you don't do your job, you're not going to play, right? So like you just said, it's a worrisome thing sometimes. It's a matter of, it has to be learned, though. It's December 1st, 2022. We basically got the same record we had last year. It ain't supposed to be like that. People can't be satisfied like this anymore. We should want more. The players should want more. The coaching staff should want more. The general manager should want more. The owner should want more. I still haven't really heard from Wrestler all this time, getting beat by teams that we know we're not supposed to be getting beat to. I hate to just – I want to see the team win. I don't know why I would be wrong in wanting that, but especially since I do have a season ticket package, I take it a little bit more personally, because I am making those 2-hour trips I spent a little bit of money in this case, too. Those Laker tickets were no joke, doggone it. I don't want to go to the Laker game and this Dennis Schroeder getting 30 on us, y'all. You see what I'm saying? I don't want, well, they're about to release Matt Ryan over there in Lakerland, but I don't want some indescript person we've never heard of drop 30 on us and beat us. And it's not even Bron or Russell or even AD beating us. It's people who shouldn't be beating us, because that's what we experience here as Hawks fans. We always have the running joke, but it happens, right? We have somebody who ain't supposed to be hurting us. And why is that? 646-652-4479. I'm sorry, John. I just had to get that off my chest, sir.
Oh, no. Hey, can Jordan hear me now?
Jordan actually has not returned yet. I think he's going to check in a second, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking, and I just wanted to get your opinion on this. Does this Hawks team miss the voice of a Vince Carter? Because, you know, you heard the narrative about the Lloyd Pierce situation and how, you know, he wasn't relating to the players. He felt some of the players felt like they were getting bullied, which, you know, hey, if I even think about when I was growing up, I know that was bullying. But, you know, the people back when I was growing up and a little bit further back, they were made out of sterner stuff, you know, that if you were, coach was riding you, it was about something legitimate. You didn't take it personally as far as the coach just trying to quote-unquote disrespect you. And it was a thing where they were pushing you because they saw something in you that they were trying to get out of you, and they were trying to coach you and make you better than what you came on the floor at, okay? Now, in some of these after-game discussions, some of the people there were saying, well, doesn't relate to today's these old-school coaches don't relate to these players coming up from high school and all of this. And one thing that I have been a stickler about is knowing and learning fundamentals of passing, of shooting, of dribbling, and knowing when to pass, knowing when to shoot. Coming through a structured environment such as high school, college, and then going to the pros, it kind of teaches you that. And once you have that foundation and that structure, you can improvise off of that. But if you have no foundation or structure, it's just like you're being taught basketball at the end of the journey instead of learning it up, learning coming through the journey. Okay? And this is what I'm seeing from these players now. I watched two games right after the Hawks lost to whoever that was they lost to before Houston. It was Houston. Before the Hawks lost to Houston, after the Hawks lost to Houston. And I saw that same thing that the after-game panel was complaining about. I saw that same thing out of the two games. The difference was the Golden State game where they were playing Denver, they were the thing that was saving them was the shooting. It didn't save them all the way because they lost the game because they decided to, quote-unquote, they started shooting and hitting later on in the game. But I saw the same thing. You know, people standing around the three-point line not moving. I'm looking at Steve Kerr, you know, the little shots that I could get of him to see what it was that he was doing, and he was standing there looking just like everybody else was. And it's a thing where if you're in the half-court set and, okay, you got a Steph Curry, you got a Klay Thompson, okay, you got Jordan Poole out there, you might have Wiggins out there, but guys, y'all got to move. Y'all can't be just like the movie The Fifth Element where you got wind, fire, rain, and earth on opposite corners of the globe and the fifth element in the middle, you know, and I mean waiting on it to spit out fire to save the world. You got to move. You got to move. And
if you're not used to moving, that's where the turnovers take place. If you're not used to moving and not used to getting passes in various places or whatever, too easy buckets can be scored because they can't keep up with you. We are too young to be going so slow, so lethargic, so methodical. You know, we too young. You know, that's the thing that frustrates me more than anything else. You know, and like you say, Chris, that game that we won, you man, if you're celebrating that, you may as well be dancing the limbo because your ball is low to the ground.
I'm going to interrupt you because, see, the thing of it was, the reason I mentioned that at the very beginning of the show in regards to the celebration of that win as if we, I hate to say it, like if as if we did something. I mean, I actually put it on Twitter. A win is a win up to a certain point, but in this case, it's not because we were supposed to win that game. Now, I think there was a picture of Trey and Clint with some hot gold chains around them and everything in the locker room and stuff. If this was like after a WWE match that they participated in, maybe. But this is in the end of November, where literally we had the same record that we did a year ago, okay? And we haven't looked good at all. And most of the things that you have said, I have said them in regards to having no structure on offense to learn these things and or defense. And like you said, having a voice like Vince Carter on our bench is being missed greatly, because we could have some good banter back and forth to say, hey, this is not how to do it. This definitely is not how to do it. How come you're not playing harder? How come you're not getting a few more rebounds? How come you're not getting a few more deflections? Or how come you're missing assignments on the, how come you're doing these things? How come? You see what I'm saying? There got to be some kind of contention there on that basis, and we just don't have it on this team. 646 is 524479. Let me go ahead and bring in this other caller real quick because I see we have another caller. Go ahead, caller. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes. My name is Jordan. I'm calling from, what did I say? Was it? Oh, Centerville, Georgia.
I decided to call in
and get off of the StreamYard because for some reason I couldn't hear anything you were saying on the StreamYard, but I can hear you perfectly fine through the phone. I can also hear you well on on blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide Radio.
Jordan, hold on. That's what I was going to try to stop it because it's actually blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide. So if for whatever reason you can't hear us who are watching the YouTube channel, make sure you go there because for whatever reason, I'm not sure why, it's going to have to be something I troubleshoot later, but you can't hear our callers on the line. So you miss a lot of what John was saying, and now Jordan's on the line. You only could really hear what I've been saying this whole time, which is a lot, but it's not everything. So I apologize. I'm not sure why it's happening, but go ahead, guys.
Yes, sir. But, you know, everything you guys are saying is correct. I don't know. I think, like I said, a lot of the issue, it is strange, John, to hear that you saw a lot of the same stuff with Golden State, because typically when you watch Golden State, the ball moves quite a bit, because what Golden State's offense really is a mixture of what San Antonio runs as well as a mixture of what Chicago Bulls ran with a lot of the stuff through the high post, you know, like principles of the triangle offense. So that offense is designed to move. Now, you know, of course, with the triangle principles, there's a lot of read and react based on what the defense does, but, you know, he's got quite a lot of veterans over there, so you know, he can run something like that. My thing has been, even if you want to make your offense, the pick and roll a staple of your offense, that's fine, but there still needs to be more ball movement, and there needs to be prescribed movement in the offense. You can't just, I don't think, rely that players are just going to cut at the right time and move at the right time when most of these guys on our team are very young. So I think younger players need more structure. They need more prescribed movements. And even though it's an older offense, I'm telling you, the blueprint is Jerry Sloan with the Utah Jazz. He ran pick and roll on every single play. But
every
the three guys
play.
Who weren't right, but the three guys who weren't involved in the pick and roll, they had prescribed things they were doing. They were coming across the lane at times. You would see all three of them on one side. You would see a double screen set for one, and then after the double screen was set, you see a guy go across the lane, cut through, and then go to the corner. You know what I mean? As opposed to just standing there stationary the entire time. I also agree with John is the fact that we need to play faster. Now, looking at the numbers, though, last year we were 18th in pace. We're actually improved in our pace a little bit up to 8th. But the problem is even though we're 8th in pace, we're 15th in fast break points. So we're not really getting enough in transition to have the amount of youth we have, the amount of ball handling we have, having Trey and DeJounte now, and, you know, the amount of quickness we have. So those are some things I think that can be done offensively to help us be all that we can be. And it's crazy that we're even having to discuss offense, meaning that we had a top three offense last season. But, you know, here we are having to discuss it. And so, more prescribed off-ball action in the half-court offense and also playing faster and getting more in transition, I think, will help us big time.
646-652-4479. I think what I'm going to have to end up doing, guys, in a little bit, I think I'm going to have to go off air because I'm not sure why things are not working. But I want to finish this Hawk segment. So, John, any rebuttal to what Jordan just said?
Not a rebuttal, but an amen to it. Because... See, our point total, our offense has dropped because, okay, Gallinari is not here. Okay? Gallinari.
Hold on now. Hold on. Just to let you know, because I don't know if you got to see the video I did, but, yeah, Gallo is not here. He was getting us 11 points a game.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but. And also, he didn't really play defense either. So just, I want to segue that a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah. Him and Bogey, as well as Herder. See, thing is that what right now, okay, juncture, at this point with, I think we played 20, 21 games so far. All right, now 21 games in, yes, our offense is less than what it was versus what the yearly aggregate was last year.
Actually, and it's not. We're scoring exactly what we were doing last year, 113 points a game. We're scoring 113 points a game right now.
Okay. So, you know, at this juncture, we're at 113 points a game. Ooh. But you know what, gentlemen, the eye test, you definitely would have to keep up with the points as a scorer because the eye test definitely doesn't say it. Because
well,
let me say this.
The three-point shooting numbers are definitely down.
That's down.
One area where we're definitely down.
But here's the deal. Is one person is not shooting 50 three-pointers a game either, remember. And, again, I don't know if you got to see the video I did. I broke down the first 20 games of last season and 14 games that we lost 10 points or less. And there was a lot of games that Kevin Herter wasn't dropping bombs like everybody thinks he was. There was a lot of games where he wasn't getting no points or he was shooting 0 for 4, 0 for 7, 1 for 7 from 3, lots of times. So, again, it's a cumulative thing, but, again, I want to say, yes, the eye test is there, but that also goes into, well, why can't the offense be structured to be around the players that we do have currently? Because if you did that, we wouldn't lose a game. We've had too many games that we have looked really, really, really good, And then we go exactly the opposite of that. That's why I mentioned that Milwaukee Buck game going to the Boston game. I was at that Boston game, and I swear there was just no way this was the same team. It couldn't have been because we did nothing that we did the game before. And that was just 24 hours ago. You see what I'm saying? And that's what makes me upset because how can you just have that drastic difference on a game-to-game basis? And it's like we have guys that can hit wide open. Justin Holiday can do it. AJ can do it. There's times where AJ gets shut out the game. You know what I'm saying? When you have guys who are actually going well and then you remove them as if they don't exist anymore and just say, okay, well, let's just revert back to the stuff that ain't working, but we hope it's going to work. That's not basketball, and that's what's hurting the team most of the time because we don't have to do anything we did last year. Last year didn't work. We lost 39 games, and if it wasn't for the new format, we would have missed the playoffs. And that's what makes me mad about this year. We're supposed to be better than last year, and right now we are not. And in certain cases, we might be worse, and that's what's scary about this season so far.
And see, Chris, for the people in Atlanta, I really apologize, Chris, that you are wasting this money coming up here and seeing this junk that your team is that my team is putting out. Now, I feel for you just like I feel for any other Hawks fan that's coming from some other place that say, hey, I want to go to the city where it's happening. I want to go to State Farm Arena. I want to take in the ambiance. I want to be at a Hawks game, and I want a team that I'm worshiping from afar. You know, and I really hate that. I really hate that. And thing is, Chris, I'm just as upset as you are, and I'm only 15 miles away in Douglasville. I'm mad as all get out behind this. Because just like you say, on a back-to-back, why did the team turn from Jekyll to Hyde to Frankenstein monster to Predator to, I mean the team.
It was startling. It was startling, John. And I had to fight all the Boston fans left and right, all the people in green. They were saying all kinds of, they weren't cussing or nothing necessarily, but they were really, really obnoxious. And once they got the alcohol in them, it was just, I did everything I could not to go to jail. But I had to sit through that 30-point loss, and it wasn't cool, man. It wasn't cool. It wasn't cool.
No, because the thing is, okay, we as fans, we root for our team. Somebody comes into our house. We can't defend our house. The team on the floor defends the house. We are there benefiting from it so that all of the people that are there from other places, we got something to say to them because of what my team is supposed to be doing to their team on the floor. And see, when you have no ammo, man, you in no man's land in your own doggone house. And see, that is the most frustrating thing that you could ever feel because I remember there would be times I would go to sports bars or whatever here in the city. I went, and I think I might have told this story once before. I was watching the Falcons game had gone off. I'm still sitting there debating whether I'm going to watch the next game because you, me and my friends, we were sitting around there having a pretty good time or whatever. Okay, here comes this dude to slap down four replica Lombardi trophies on the table. Bam. Hey, man, y'all getting up? I said, no, not right now. He said, well, y'all need to get up for some winners. The Cowboys are in town because the Cowboys game was getting ready to come on. Look, partner, I was getting ready to get up, but since you done did all this, I'm going to be here all throughout your game. That's what I had to tell him. You know, because see, the thing is, I can't say nothing to him, not about the game. I can say something to him about his being obnoxious, but I can't say nothing to him about the game. Now, that man, I can't take them rings away, and I can't enter into any type of discussion with him about my team versus his team because his team got rings, okay? Now, if we're going to have an issue, we're going to have an issue about how you approach me, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, because I would have loved to be been able to engage him in a football conversation, but The trump card, he got it. Okay? That certain team, that Falcons team, and Hawks team can't talk to, can't argue, can't fuss, can't do anything because we have no ammunition to talk with them. I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
Just like you are. Just like everybody, I'm tired of that. I want a trophy. I want a ring.
I just posted on the YouTube page that we want to see the Hawks win a championship. That's it. And to make anything other than that being the biggest deal and pretending as if things are okay, it just isn't. And the moment that everybody in the organization also starts talking and speaking and acting like that, that's when it will probably happen. Because right now it's too, what's the word? Sometimes we just get the feeling it's too blasé. Is that a good word to use in this case? It just isn't enough. Sense of urgency. I was watching the World Cup and they were talking about how, I think it was Belgium, it wasn't until like the final moment that they finally decided that they needed to try to play harder to score a goal because they're about to get eliminated. Right? And that sense of urgency is something that has made a lot of teams better than they sometimes are, and the ones that are already good to be great, because they always have a sense of urgency, whether it be because of Kobe Bryant being on the team, right? Or a particular coach like Coach Spo or Phil Jackson or Pat Riley or whoever. You never had that question with Phil Jackson that the team didn't have a sense of urgency because you weren't playing otherwise. That was it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts, right? And that's what I keep throwing out there to be like, there got to be somebody to say, this is not right. We got to fix it. But if you don't want to fix it, sir, I have to fix it. You see what I'm saying? And there has to be some kind of consequence. And there's no consequences. And when you just let things just keep going as they just keep going, it never gets addressed. And we see this on the court every game. It ain't cool to keep seeing people out of space, out of pocket on the defensive end, like they don't know where they're supposed to be because they're over-helping, because they're not paying attention to where their man is, and then their man cuts behind them because their back was turned to their man the whole time. That ain't cool to me when I done played basketball for 40-plus years of my life, and I don't let that happen with me. So why is it happening on this court? It shouldn't happen, but it does. And there's never an explanation of the why. And that's what hurts even more. It's just like, let's just own up to the fact that they ain't being taught, and then we can go from there. You see what I'm saying? Because how could it be watching tape and every game it still keeps happening? It has to happen all the time, not just one game in seven, right? We can't have these games that we do everything right once in a while. It needs to be every game. And then if the other team still beats you playing to your best effort, so be it. But how many times can we honestly say that we've seen that in the last two seasons, though, right? That's what I'm talking about. I want to see this Hawks team play to the best of its ability every night. I want to see the coaches do their thing. I want to see the GMs do their thing. Wrestler do his thing, because it's time. I think that's enough, right? So. Here's the deal.
Speaking of wrestlers doing his thing, they had wrestlers swag surfing at the game the other night when I was there. So I guess that's what he means by doing his thing. Well, I was just looking at some of the numbers, Chris, and you're right. Last season we averaged 113.9 points, which was good for sixth in the NBA. But what's interesting is this season we're averaging 113.9 points, exactly the same, like you said. But that's good for 13th in the NBA. So something happened where a lot of other teams are elevating their point totals, and ours really hasn't, you know, elevated any. Now, one way to kind of get an equalizer on this particular stat is to look at offensive rating, which is a points per 100 possession metric, you know, which will kind of equal up the thing in terms of, you know, it takes away the teams that have more possessions or what have you. Now, last season, we were second in the NBA in offensive rating, 115.4 points per 100 possessions. But when you look this season, we are down to just 110.7 points per 100 possessions, which is actually 20th in the NBA. So, you know, that's one of the major differences there.
You know what would offset that as well? If we weren't giving up 112 points a game on the top of that too. If we would just give up 108 points a game, we'd be undefeated almost. So, you know what I'm saying? Is this, I don't know.
Well,
right.
Now, the thing that unquantifiable stat is an unquantifiable set of stats. It's an impression, and like I said, you have to dig into the numbers to justify what the eye test tells you. And just like you've been saying, Chris, and just like you've been saying, Jordan, see, a lot of people are celebrating last night because it looked better than what we've looked like really all season, because this is the first time that we have not given up all of a 20-something point lead. If I'm not mistaken. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that was the first time in several games. For sure. But
because I'll just say this.
I don't know if you heard me before you came on the line, John, but being at that Miami Heat game live, I'm gonna tell you, sir, it looked like the difference between elementary school math and advanced trigonometry or calculus. It looked like the difference between Shakespeare and Cat in the Hat. I'm just being straight up honest with you, sir. What they were doing, the way Spoelstra adjusted at halftime, and the types of shots that they were getting from the type of actions they were running, while everything for us was a struggle, sir. It was like we were trying to trudge through quicksand or something. And so, the eye test certainly tells a lot. And being able to see everything, you know, from a bird's eye view and see what every single player is out there doing. The difference between those two teams is so stark, man. It's unbelievable, John.
I just put up on the YouTube page that at a certain point we need a coach to outcoach other coaches regularly.
And that's my point to a great degree, because sometimes the best seats aren't down there on the floor. Sometimes the best seats are up high, a little high, where you can see patterns developing, people moving without having to look through a whole bunch of people to see them. And seeing what people, you know, if you can understand basketball, seeing exactly where people are going and how they're timing themselves up. But, you know, like our if we had shooters like Golden State has, and they're, you know, they sometimes can put five scorers on the floor at any different time. If we had a team like that, we could run this helter-skelter that we're running right now, because that's basically all we're doing. Now, there definitely needs to be structure, not statue structure, but movement structure.
Yeah,
it's a combination of the pick and roll and the M1 mixtape tour is what we're out there doing, sir.
Yeah, it's just not. And kind of like what you just said, John. And by the way, guys, I'm gonna have to end the show a little bit early in a little bit. But we don't play the defense to play ISO ball like that either. I wouldn't have minded the Houston game if we had just played a little bit better defense, because we still would have won that game with two players shooting 28 and 24 shots respectively, if we had just blocked out and not letting that team get, 27 second chance points, 22 offensive rebounds, and however many points in the paint?
They out rebounded us by 31, sir. 31 rebounds.
There you go.
That's a huge number.
So we would win that game anyway with them, you know, one, I don't care about them wanting to show out and talking to all this stuff and everything, but there's no way you could do all that and then lose the game anyway. There's just no way you can facilitate that and be okay with that. And because, one, why can't we sweep this team every year? We got to go next year now and be like, man, they're a rival now because we can't ever beat them, right? We got beat by the Houston Rockets last year, y'all, 132 to 126, and they had less people then than they did for this game. They were out. And we still couldn't beat them, right? So that's one of the things where why can't we get on a objective level of continuity on both sides of the ball over this period of time with the core players that we have and then bring in other players? Because, see, other players coming into this lineup has helped, but we still need to put them in the best positions as well. And that's not happening. Rotations, sometimes I'm like, I don't know what we're really doing. Is this your time to play? Or what? I don't know why Aaron Holiday ain't playing no more. You know, it doesn't matter, I guess, but there got to be a rhyme or a reason somewhere in there for us to win games on a regular basis, because it has to work. When you do stuff, it does have to work, because with the other teams, it works for them and they beat us, right? And that goes back into having a plan. And that's all I've ever really said from the beginning. I just want to see us have a plan, because I think if we had a plan, teams wouldn't be able to beat us. Because we do have Trae Young on this team, and then we do have Murray, who can hit all the shots. Give him better shots to hit, though, sometimes. If he's missing those threes, tell him, stop shooting threes, doggone it. You're not hitting them. I'm sorry, that's selfish. And that was another topic the other night, right? You can't be selfish and win games. You just can't. You can't do it. It shouldn't be allowed. It shouldn't be allowable. And if the players can't recognize that they're being selfish at a certain point and you're missing opportunities to get your guys the ball more, especially when they're being productive. Again, that Cleveland game, AJ shut out. He didn't have but two more shots. He was 3 for 4. No, he had one more shot, right? Just on even the other night, he hit 3 straight 3-pointers and didn't get the ball until 5 seconds left in the game, and we lost that game. Doesn't make sense. John not get – other people not to get the ball when other people are missing. I don't care who the people are. At a certain point, hey, my bad, let me stop shooting. Because, see, in our world, that's what we do. Because we know if we keep on shooting, we're not getting picked up in that game. We're just going to sit on that sideline the rest of the day. Because we ain't going to do right. But in the NBA, you can't really do that, but you can. Because what you can do is subsidize those minutes all of a sudden. You were going to play 35 minutes, but now you might play 28 because we're going to have to kick you for some minutes because you keep shooting us out the game, whoever it is. Or you're not playing defense. Or you're not rebounding with us. It got to be some penalty to be like, we got to get under the control.
And you went exactly where I was going to go with it, Chris. First of all, though, I do think, you know, that's something that Trae and DeJounte both as young guards have to continue to learn. When a guy has a hot hand, they got to feed that guy. They got to look for that guy. But in the meantime, while they're trying to learn it, the coach has got to step forward. When you're losing the game and A.J. Griffin comes in the game and knocks down 3 straight 3-pointers, and it's basically the reason why you're even back into the game. You go from being down 12, you know, to in a short order being, you know, within 3 points. Then, you know, if the guys aren't going to find him, as a coach, you got to call the plays to get that guy involved. You got to help your point guard feed the hot hand by what you order from the sideline. But you really weren't where I was going to go, and you mentioned it earlier. There's got to be some level of accountability. It's okay. It's all good to see that, okay, if he felt like he wasn't getting enough defense from the backup guard, that now Trent Forrest is playing over Aaron Holiday. It's all good that A.J. Griffin has replaced Justin Holiday as a regular in the rotation. That's a good thing. But you got to start doing some discipline within the game as well. You know, if a guy is blowing a defensive assignment, like you just mentioned, maybe he needs to sit by you for an extra 5 minutes and think about, you know, what he can do better to not blow his defensive assignment. And you put it perfectly. Instead of playing 35 minutes like he normally plays, he might only get 30 minutes for that game. But it's so frustrating to after the game, that Houston game in particular, and Damian Miller gets home in the press conference, he tells the truth. He says, look, we scored enough points to win this game. We didn't defend for 3 out of the 4 quarters. The only defense we played, it was the third quarter, and that was when we took the 15-point lead. But after that, we didn't defend. He's right.
But my question to him is, and had I been a reporter, I would have asked him, well, what did you do, Nate, to try to help the defense? Did you switch anybody's defensive assignment? Did you bench anyone for not playing good defense? Did you go to the zone defense? Did you try some type of half-court trapping defense or something different strategically? It is not enough to call a timeout and to urge your guys to play better defense. Come on, guys. I need you to play better, guys. No, it takes more than that. It's got to be some level of strategy and effort on your part as a coach to try to solve the problem. John, what are your thoughts, sir?
You're absolutely right, because, and see, that's where I go back to, I think you might have been listening on the radio, listening on the phone or whatever, when I was saying it, when I was telling Chris that you having to start, now, and this has been my pet peeve and the bone in my eye for a long time. Stuff that you have to teach professionals now that they should have learned coming up or not been allowed to play. Because, see, a lot of these people, they spoil for no reason at all. You know, who is that? Keith Armstrong for the Falcons one time. And it was that hard knock set segment where a couple of the players were dogging it. And he told, you know, he just jumped all over him in the special teams meeting. You're not good enough to be an a-hole, man. You're not good enough. You know, do you have a gold jacket? Then what are you doing? You just want to sit around and not get in the game? I mean, thing is that some of these guys right now, and I'm talking about every person on the Hawks team and every person on every team in the NBA, they need to be broke down like a Jerry Sloan or a Mike Fratello or a Kevin Lockery or somebody would do to break them down and teach them fundamentals since you didn't learn none coming up, okay? And see, like Chris is saying,
right,
like you saying, you got to go back to ABC 123. I don't care if you're making $200 million or $290 million a second. You will be on this bench beside me not playing if you're not going
right
to follow my instructions.
The bench is one of the best teachers, sir. It's always been that way in sports, and that has not changed. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. And see, and that's my problem. Okay. When I talk to some of the other people, they say, well, you can't coach like that now. Or it's too much politics involved. The owner gets involved and this and that. Look, let me tell you something. You hired me to do a job, Mr. Owner, and I would really – and, you know, if that type of situation is going on, Mr. Owner, you hired me to do a job. If you want me to do this job, let me do my job and you evaluate me afterwards. Okay. But until then,
I agree.
You know,
and the thing is, like
coach
Chris mentioned earlier, it worked for Bill Belichick when he had the personnel. And I understand college was a little bit different, but it's certainly working for Coach Smart. It's his way or the highway. Same thing for Coach Prime. In the HBCU world, those guys have fun. Their players enjoy themselves. But when they come to own that field, you're going to do it the coach's way or you're not going to play. Simple as that.
Yeah. And see, and where it has to start, because you remember the Josh Smith wars with what's his name? Where Josh out there taking three pointers, come here, son, come here.
Right.
I haven't played in a while. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Give me a second. Let's see. I haven't played it in almost a year, I think. So give me a second or two. Don't say nothing for a second. Let me see if I can spot it. Man, I can't even find it. Let me see if I can find it. Live radio, folks. I don't you love it? There it is.
For the love of God, he just shot a three.
Exactly.
Wait a minute now, because see, I remember seeing that actual spot. And then I think the camera coach, Bob Raff, shaking his head. Dominique looked at him, and Bob Raffin was shaking his head when he went. went back.
It was a moment in time. We all was there, man. I'm telling you, that's why I saved it. I had to do it, man.
Because look, when players do that, it's a come here, son. Come here. Because see, okay, now it would be something else entirely.
When you say that like that, John, excuse me real quick, but when you say that come here, son, like that, you almost send chills through my body, because that's exactly how my high school coach used to say it.
Oh, I did the hand motion on the YouTube page, Tom. I did it. As soon as he said it, I was like, come here.
Yeah.
Come on, sit by me, son. Come on, right here.
Yeah. Because he's saying, yeah, now you can't hit him. You can't swing on him. So, look. Hey, the bench or them laps or them suicides.
Yep.
See, that's how you discipline. When you come back, look here. But you sitting up here taking all them dogs on three-point shots, you going to run this dog on school. Well, what you mean? What you mean the school? I used to run around the track. You running around the school. I mean,
the whole school campus, right.
The whole campus, you know. Well,
right.
Two blocks. So you'll be in good shape to take them three-pointers next time. And every time you do it, you look over here at the bench, you know, because like Chris has been saying and like everybody's been saying, it's got to be accountability. If you don't have it within yourself, I'm going to take care of your accountability, sir. I'm going to take care of it. You know, because obviously you don't know when to stop. Okay.
And again, people keep coming at me, and they've been coming at me for a while. I'm not sure why, because I've been saying it on my show for like 4 years now. For forever to say you can't allow a person to do terrible and then keep them in the game. And so whether it been Coach Pierce, whether it been Nate, whether whoever it was, you have to establish that, because if you just let guys do whatever they want, how successful has that proven to be over the years? How successful has it been for Melo over his career being basically an isolation type player? How many championships does Melo have, right? How many does AI have? How many – we can go down the list, can't we? At a certain point, it got to be about –
I mean, honestly, we can go to the greatest player of all time, sir. Michael Jordan couldn't win a championship in an isolation offense. It wasn't until he got with Phil Jackson and more of a motion-based offense. Right.
So there, again, it's like I can't hold a player accountable. I can't take him out of the game like I would want to. Only the coach can do that. All I can do is speak on it, which I do, and I have proof on a radio show, online, on video, on Twitter, or everywhere else, to say, if a player is playing bad, what's wrong with taking them out of the game? Because Coach Daly would do it on the Pistons, right? Again, Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, Spo, Coach Pop. Ginobili, everybody. It doesn't matter. Tony Parker was always on the bench, okay, for a period of time until he got it.
He was very hard on him early in his career, but that helped make him into the Hall of Famer that he is, though.
How many rings do they have over there?
Man, look, a whole handful, okay? And thing is, I was always taught from being a young, iron sharpens iron, okay? Iron sharpens iron.
Right.
And see, if you rub an iron up against a cotton, and it tended to get sharper, you the fool. Okay?
Right.
I mean that's the thing. And the thing is that the people nowadays, they don't want to put in the work in order to transcend from what they are into what they can be. They don't want to put in the work. They think that they are ready now. It can't get no better. Nobody better than me until they run into somebody who has put in the work. See, and once that person's put in the work and they show them up, they get mad. Oh, you know, but see, look, son, That man didn't start out like that. That man worked. That man pressed. That man ground. I mean, did what it took in order to get where he was. And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. You got to continue to improve. Those people who come in the gym 2 hours before practice, and then stay 2 hours afterward, those are the ones that become the stars. Those are the ones that transcend what they
work
were.
Work ethic goes a long way. Work ethic goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really what separates the good from the great, because it's a lot of very good ball players that have played in all of these professional sports, but the guys who are known as some of the greatest of all time, guys like Michael Jordan, guys like Kobe Bryant, even a guy like a Jerry Rice, their work ethic is legendary. Jerry Rice was 40 years old, inviting 20-something-year-old guys to go run what he calls a hill. Looks like a mountain to me. And you had, you know, young running backs throwing up and not able to keep up with 40-year-old Jerry Rice. That type of work ethic, that next-level work ethic, is what separates the good, the very good, from the greatest of all time. For real.
Exactly. So, see, now, and I'm gonna say this and turn y'all loose, because I know Chris is saying that he wanted to end the show or whatever, but I just want to make sure.
And I sure want to hear your thoughts, though, and I don't know what Chris has going on, but I sure, when you call, I want to hear your thoughts on this quarterback play before we go, because you were very hard on our previous quarterback, so I loved it, but I'll let Chris take the lead on that. Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, hey.
Well, okay, here's the deal then. Let me see how I can do this. All right, so this is what I'm going to do. So everybody who's watched and who's watching currently on the YouTube channel on IMTN Worldwide Radio for Around the ATL, thank you for watching. Obviously, we've had some technical difficulties, and next time what I'm going to have to do is try to test it out, because I'm not sure from the last time we had a live show why those on the radio going in to the show you can't hear on the YouTube channel. I'm not sure why. But I did try to direct people to the Blog Talk Radio page, which is the radio channel. So what we're going to do, I'm going to end the broadcast on the YouTube channel, and then I'm going to segue over to Blog Talk Radio specifically for the rest of the night, because we're going to go and talk basketball. So on the comment section, if you read it, I actually have posted a couple of times, blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide. So what we're going to do is I'm going to end the show here with our usual intro, outro. John and Jordan, just put yourselves on hold for a minute, and then I'll reintroduce y'all in a second to finish out the show. We'll talk some football for sure. We'll segue that. But I wanted to go ahead and end the broadcast here on the YouTube channel. So, again, thanks to everybody who's watched and who will watch later on, hopefully. Make sure you let people know about Around the ATL. Make sure you let people know about IMTN Worldwide Radio YouTube channel, because that's where we're going to broadcast from primarily. And don't forget, if you're a watcher of the program, if you call into the show, if you comment, you become eligible to win tickets to a Hawks game, tickets to a College Park Skyhawk game, or win a shirt from the Originated brand, which is free, kind of like the one I got on now, but maybe you want a Brave shirt or a Falcon shirt or an Atlanta Dream shirt. Whatever it might be, make sure you go to the Originated brand on Instagram. That being said, we're going to go ahead and sign off here. One more time, if you're just coming in, because I see some people just came in to watch, we're going to go to the radio page, blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide. If you go to the comment section, you see the website there. We're going to go and talk some Atlanta Falcons football to end the night, because we had some technical difficulties, so I'm ending the night here a little bit earlier than usual. Again, I appreciate y'all's support over the years. We're going to be back real soon. We're going to get regular again, I promise. We really are. We're working on it. So until next time, we'll talk to y'all later. John, Jordan, stay on hold, okay?
All right.
And we are back. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio on Blog Talk Radio. This is Around the ATL. Episode 120 is December 1st, 2022. We just finished the YouTube portion of the show. We have a caller, John Harris, representing Atlanta. Of course, my co-host, Jordan Jackson. As we get ready to rotate into a new subject for the rest of the show, we're going to talk about some Atlanta Falcons football. I got to go ahead and do it since we hadn't done this in a while, too. Okay, that's enough of that. So, John, I'll go ahead and let you lead off because, yeah, we have some contending times right now, times of contention, I should say. You know, let me say this first. I'm going to let you go ahead. We got 15 minutes or so. I'm going to say Marcus Mariota didn't lose his game. I'm going to say that right off the bat. I don't believe he did. In this case, he played well enough to win that game. I say play calling hurt. In this particular case, for whatever reason, all of a sudden everything's going good and it's like, nope, let's do this now all of a sudden when this wasn't working. So I say that on that end, but also because we just can't stop nobody still. And that worries me almost more than anything else, because if we just had I think we have 17 sacks now. We had 18 all of last year, so we're going to have more sacks than last year. That's a good thing, but we can't stop the run to save our lives. And, you know, besides the injuries and everything, I mean, I don't know why we just have to play zone all the time. I just don't understand it. We just keep giving up first downs off of third down because we're just going to give it up to them on the zone. I don't know that. But anyway, go ahead and talk about what your thoughts are in regards to this season, because one of the things I was going to talk about on the YouTube page is could the Falcons still make the playoffs? You know, I predicted we would win 9 games this year. We're still technically pacing to do it. But because of how the conference is, it's getting harder and harder to do that, and now we almost have to win the division at this point, which is still winnable because Tampa Bay went and messed around and lost, right? But go ahead and give us your thoughts in regards to the season, and Jordan will hop in after that.
Okay, now Jordan, since you want to know.
Yeah, I want to know your assessment of the current quarterback play, sir, because you're a quarterback guru. We know that you're a breaker downer, a film. And so what is your breakdown on this particular quarterback and like, what are you seeing out there compared to what we've seen in the past or what compared to what you're seeing with other quarterbacks around the league, sir?
Well, oh, man. See, thing is, you only have 15 minutes. But I'm going to say this. Now, at this juncture, you got 2 rookie quarterbacks. And the reason why I say that you got 2 rookie quarterbacks is that, okay, you got Marcus Mariota, who hasn't started in 2 years, that your head coach decided to bring here after the Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson situation. Then you drafted a third-round quarterback, brought him here. Now, my question at the beginning of the season, and I'm trying to think if I discussed this with you guys before, and I may not have, but number one, I looked to see who the quarterback coach was. The man's name is Charles London. Looking on his bio as published by the Falcons, this man has not played quarterback. As not coach quarterback.
Oh, God.
Okay? But that's the quarterback coach. I was on another show discussing the Falcons, and I brought this up. And the people there supposedly, you know, so thing is, the show turned into, okay, I'm going to get John. I'm going to shut him up. I'm going to bring a coach that coaches kids on to show John that anybody can coach anybody. And I'm saying, yeah, I can teach you. John, I can teach you how to cook. Oh, excuse me, sir. If I'm not mistaken, coaching 6- and 7-year-olds. Okay. You're coaching high school. Okay. You're trying to compare what you're doing or what your coaching staff is doing to what the National Football League, the highest form of football existing does with their coaches with millions of dollars on the line with the most important position on the football field. And this man doesn't have a quarterback in coaching or playing bone in his body, but you brought a third-round draft pick in here that you're trying to say is not ready. And my point is, how are you able to say when he is ready when you're the quarterback coach and you haven't taught him nothing? Oh, what?
Man, he's in trouble, man. That ain't cool at all. I'm really thinking about this.
Because, see,
why do we always have this kind of stuff going on in this city, man? Like, what? See, in the world, like you said, John, this is the NFL. You're talking about the most important position in the NFL. You're talking about, you know, some of these guys, like, for example, Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, was once our quarterback coach. You know what I mean? Like, you need people that have at least, that have not played the position, that have at least coached the position for a number of years or something. You know what I mean? Like, wow, that's
man, but the way they were trying to, embarrass me. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And then, okay, now I've got the Orlando Ledbetter working on a story for me right now because I have asked him to find out for me because, see, this is something else that somebody was saying. Oh, Drake London, Ritter has Jason Palmer training him while he's with the Falcons. I said, hold up. I have never heard that a quarterback has a private tutor outside of the walls of the franchise teaching him how to play quarterback and not teaching the starter nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is what people are coming up with. Now, I've told the Orlando Ledbetter, find out for me. Get me something definitive so that I can come back and say this was this or that was that. Because if that's going on, that's a problem. If it's not going on, it's a problem. Because if it's going on, how in the world are you teaching one quarterback and not messing with the other one? And the other one is your starter, okay? And if
I can see how a quarterback would go to another quarterback maybe in the off season, but it does seem weird that he's got his own private quarterback coach in season. You know what I mean? Is he coming to the facility?
Yeah. But I read an article where Jason Palmer did train him, Ritter, as well as, Cincinnati's quarterback now. Train both of them to be prepared for the NFL draft in their respective years. Matter of fact, in addition to that, I just saw an article that Palmer and his quarterbacking teaching company has been contracted by the XFL from September to December to train their quarterbacks in their offseason in preparation for their regular season. So, see, something's not matching up. But the problem is, in the interim, you got a running back coach that's learning how to be a quarterback coach on the job with your starter and your, I don't know whether he's going to be heir apparent. I don't know whether he's going to start. But your other quarterback that you got in the draft. Now, what you see on the field, Jordan, is what you get from stuff like this here.
Be honest with you what I see, sir, and the best comparison I got for this, I don't know if you remember when Baltimore – won the Super Bowl the first time when their defense was just outstanding. But they went 5 weeks without even scoring a touchdown. And this was before Trent wasn't even the starter for all five of those weeks. Tony Banks, sir. That's what I see. Tony Banks.
Yeah.
And he played for the Falcons.
Yeah.
That's about the quality of quarterback play we're getting.
Yes. And, okay. I got to admire the man's grit I got to admire the man's guts. But as far as going any further than that, I can't. Now, I also factor in that Tannehill isn't that much better than this man right now. Because, see, I look at Tennessee to see what it is that I'm supposed to see here because I grew up in that organization, okay? Offensive assistant, tight ends coach, wide receiver coach, I think, and being offensive coordinator, blah, 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 blah. All right? He grew up in that organization. All of the coaches coming up were defensive-minded coaches. Even Mike Vrabel now is their head coach. So they are featuring a heavy, heavy dose of run. And see, when you got the biggest running back in the game, okay, you know, that's what you're going to do. And this is what we have transmorphed into. This running team, this physical team or whatever, and a quarterback who is going to be reined in like a team of mules going down a hill.
Right. And the thing is, I don't mind running the football. I don't. But the fact of the matter is you also got to make teams pay when they start to stack up the box against your run.
True.
And we're unable to do that. And I kind of disagree with Chris a little bit. In a way, I agree with you, Chris. Because I understand what you're saying. We were driving the ball, so why not just keep running the football? But if I can't go play action, or if I can't switch it up and throw a pass on the goal line, because I can't trust that my quarterback will throw it to the other team, we got a problem, son.
I was getting to that, Jordan, but I didn't want to throw it out there. But it's either or, and for us, it's a matter of best-case scenario type of a deal, just because of the principle of it all, because it's just not something that we're proficient in doing. And you have momentum, and momentum says we need to go ahead and run that ball in there. Or even he could have ran the ball in for all I care, but to kind of go against the grain all of a sudden, it just wasn't the appropriate time for that. That's all I know.
I can't disagree with that part of it. But like I said, if you can't switch it up, because, you know, if you run it three straight times and you don't score, and then, you get stopped on fourth down, there's a problem. So the way I get said, okay, we're going to try to see if we can catch a slipping and go on and put it, punch it in right here. But there again, we just don't have the quarterback play from that. And if you go back to that last Thursday night game we played, I saw some of the most prominent national analysts saying that that may have been the worst display of decision making that they've ever seen in an NFL game from the quarterback position their entire life. You know what I mean? And so, you know, it's quite bad when you're hearing things like that. While I have to give him credit, like you said, for being tough, he keeps trying, he keeps fighting. And I will say having a running quarterback in there, it is helping the running game. The fact that teams have to stay backside until they see if he's coming out the back door with the ball or what have you, it is helping the running game versus not having a running quarterback in there. But, man, you know, at this point, and John said it perfectly, it's like we got two rookie quarterbacks anyway. So why not see what the other guy has? Why not see if he can go out and make a few more plays? Because we're leaving a lot of meat on the bone. And my final point before I pass it on to you guys is this can't be how they envisioned we were going to play in terms of being this run heavy. Because otherwise you don't draft two pass catchers, back-to-back in the top eight in back-to-back years. Obviously you have players on throwing their football a little bit more than what we do now. What do you guys think?
Before you say anything, we've got about 2 minutes left. Just want to let everybody know that the stream will end soon. So I just want to let you know we're going to try to continue to record this. So you won't be able to hear it live, but you'll be able to hear it after the fact, I believe. I'm still thinking it works. So, again, just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We hadn't done a show in a while, a live show, and kind of tell tonight we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but we'll make it happen. Of course, shout out to all those who are on Twitter, Facebook, who listen to us. Thanks to those who have subscribed to the IMTN Worldwide radio page. Of course, please continue to do so. Tell others about Atlanta sports on this particular program around the ATL. You can always listen to past episodes on Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, iHeart Radio, Amazon Music as well. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Intellect ATL, and Jordan23ATL. That's all in case this doesn't work when I hit the sounder later on. Go ahead, John.
All right. Now, let's go back to the past. If you're going to throw a pass into the end zone, you got to make it where the receiver gets it or nobody gets it.
That's correct.
A pass is an option, but not that one. That one cost Seattle the Super Bowl. Okay? That pass into that particular, that's what cost Seattle the Super Bowl. And doggone Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel, as a matter of fact, Pete Carroll was trying to defend Daryl Bevel. Oh, that was a good pass. No, the heck it wasn't. Not there. You know, and trying to run. See, we had a 4th-and-1 right before halftime. They had, I think they had 2 tight ends and people all across the line, Mariota, Patterson, and somebody just running around in the backfield like a little roach, running and twisting and going one way and then turning around going the other way. And this is supposed to be a 4th-and-1. I had a problem with the fact that, okay, you're going up against the Washington Redskins. Now, they may not have the record, but they got the lines. They definitely have the lines. And if you need 1 yard, you go full tractor trailer loaded down with rocks, dump truck, snorting diesel and snuff. You put the biggest people, you go get a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman to put it in the backfield to get some extra push up the hill. But no, they don't.
I agree. And I sat there watching the game, John. But honestly, to be honest with you, against that team, when you need 1 yard, because you got to think about who you're playing against and personnel matchups and what have you, you might want to go off tackle because they got 2 grown men in De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen in that middle, sir. 2 Alabama guys. You know what I mean? So I didn't quite like that play call either.
Yeah, now see, and if you're going to go off tackle, you take that fullback with you, okay?
Right.
Running off the right side or running off the left side, you take that fullback with you. But thing was, they ran it out of the pistol, you know, with 1 running back there. That's the thing that got me. They did that in right before the half. But when they needed that yard in order to get first down there at the goal line, they had a fullback in there. They had Keith Smith right in front of Algiers, okay?
Right.
So I said, now that's a running formation there. If you need a yard, put a running formation in there, okay? Now, and by you just loading the lineup like that and everybody commit, you can lob something over the top. Because if you see in a split second, and it takes a split second for you to make that decision, quarterback,
right.
You see somebody running over the top. You see them just lining up, and they all pinch in to try to stop the run. Lob something to somebody coming around over the top to a tight end or something of that nature. You can do that.
Right.
That man will be as open as a Waffle House, you know. But
yep.
We don't do that. You know, we don't do that. You're going to sit up here and try to finesse a ball in there to Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, throwing it on the line right where the man can get his hands up. Because, see, you know, we have a problem on that right side anyway because, see, McGarry does not inspire confidence in me to pass block. Now, he's a road grader. He's a definite road grader.
Yeah, he's a good road blocker. You're right.
Yeah, but pass blocking, man, shoot, I'd put a doggone cone out there, one of them yellow cones off the street. They'll probably block somebody better than he would pass block, you know. But
I really want this kid, Darnell Washington, out of Georgia on the Falcons next year, man, because that dude is like 6'9 and 240 pounds. He's like an extra he's really more than that. Now he's probably about 265 pounds now. He's like having an extra lineman out there, but you could also lob the ball up to him in them situations that you're talking about. Because you're right, that side is a little suspect. And I think it is much better when you have a fullback out there in them short yardage situations. But I'm like you, I'd have a heavy package or something.
I'd have Grady Jarrett out there. You know what I mean? A couple of defensive tackles, all kind of big guys out there, man. Because when you need that 1 yard, especially when you're looking at the two guys they got in the middle, in the interior, you can't go pistol with just one back because you can't double both of them guys successfully in the middle. And so if the one that's not double beats his man instantly, the play is dead. It's dead.
Yeah, yeah. And see, one thing, we're still running that zone read. We're still running that zone blocking offense or whatever. And that offense is susceptible to the A-gap blitz. I mean, they come between the center and that side and the man beside on both sides. And as a matter of fact, on the 4th-and-1 we didn't get, if Mariota hadn't handed that ball off to Cordarrelle Patterson, Mariota was sacked because the man had already got back there and grabbed Mariota right when Cordarrelle Patterson was passing by. So if Mariota had done anything other than head off that ball, it was over. I mean, it was over. But the Atlanta Falcons right now, I'm going to tell you, we are in year 1A of the rebuild. We're in year 1A of the rebuild. Because, look, when you got a quarterback that hasn't started, and the most important person on the team to determine whether you are in a rebuild or not, when you replace the quarterback, you in a rebuild. You're in another rebuild. And
yeah, unless your defense is like Baltimore or somebody, you are. You're right.
Yeah. And see, okay, Grady Jarrett still needs some help, Jordan. Jordan, Grady.
Well,
I think Ibiketti, he
shows some good flashes, but as a whole, arm rush is still not as consistent as we need it to be. Not even close.
Yeah, but we're not giving any resistance, and the quarterbacks are still back there, you know, making their waffle fries and, you know, bacon and, you know, and then they throw the ball, and it's like, you know, what in the world? And it's just like, and it's allowed. And then on top of that, again, and I'm sorry, I'm like, at a certain point, why can't we play press? Why can't we at least try to play some bump and run? Why do we got to play zone on third downs and give up an easy play? I don't understand that when we have to get the stop. Like, you have to get the stop, and we're going to allow you by playing 7 yards off, and the first down marker is 7 yards away. That means they only have to, like, move 3 yards up, and it's a first down. That's it. And we do it all the time. We've been doing it all year. So between that and then not being able to stop anybody from running the ball down our throats all year, our defense has, I mean, it's just, it's porous again. And it should be.
I won't even say that's all year, though, Chris, because it seemed like we were doing such a good job stopping the run earlier in the season. It really seemed like, whatever that game that dude from Carolina scored like 3 touchdowns on the ground. It seemed like we've been leaking on the ground on the run defense ever since that game, for real.
Because, man. You don't have a nose tackle. See, nose tackle, the man already knows the job is dangerous when he took it. You gonna get double teamed, triple teamed because you so big. Okay? Now when you get double teamed,
that was a kid that went to UGA last year that we very well could have drafted, but we decided to go pass catcher, and I like Drake London, but we don't throw the ball enough. Really utilize those guys. You know what I mean? That's why it's so strange. It's because it's like we couldn't have planned on playing this way. Otherwise, you would think we would have drafted different. You would think we would have taken a Jordan Davis or a Charles Cross right there, a lineman, as opposed to a pass catcher again, since we don't really throw it anyway. I mean, like I said, London, he made a heck of a catch, even though when you look at the replay on that London catch, there's no reason he should have had to make that catch, because that throw was just so inaccurate. But he makes some great catches. But when you're only getting 2-3 balls a game, are we really utilizing these guys properly?
Two catches a game. He wasn't going to get nowhere near 1,000 yards this year. It just wasn't going to happen, and he deserved more than what he was getting.
So now that you've said that, should you have drafted him that high? Because, as I pointed out, you paying this man rookie quarterback money as a tight end. You paying this man rookie quarterback money as a tight end. And plus the fact, you really, if you look at it, and y'all look at it and y'all tell me, you really spoiled the man last year by having a seasoned quarterback like a Matt Ryan throwing the ball to him. Now, I have my problems with Matt Ryan, but there's no way that I'm going to say that Mariota is better than he is, okay? And, you know,
right.
Not at passing or whatever, or getting it in the
right
vicinity of the receiver, okay? But you really spoiled, you really spoiled a Kyle Pitts by getting him 1,000 yards. But
yeah, I mean,
he didn't know that Matt was going to be here the next year, though. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you wouldn't have, I don't think he would have even been drafted if he knew that Matt wasn't going to be here.
Well,
I don't think he gets drafted.
I'm going to say
the pick in a way, you know what I mean? In a way, I understood the pick because he's this big, fast guy that's just a matchup problem, and you're thinking you can move him all around the field and really just create mismatches. But when you can't really throw the ball at all, and, I mean, as far as receivers missing targets, like Mariota missed him more than any quarterback has missed their number one target all season. You know what I mean? And so when you look at it in hindsight, then you say, well, man, maybe we should have taken Micah Parsons, or maybe we should have taken Justin Fields. We're going to play this way with a running quarterback. At least, you know, he's a much more explosive running quarterback. You know what I mean? And you look at Micah Parsons, he's just a great defensive player. So when you look at it in hindsight, yeah, it's easy to say it. But like I said, my main point of it that I reiterated is we couldn't have planned on playing like this. This has to be an adjustment just based on the inability of the quarterback.
Okay. Now, me, I'm just going to say me. If I was the Falcons and my quarterback wasn't there, because, see, if you are a head coach, you got a Matt Ryan there, but you know Matt Ryan and his contract are killing you. We didn't know how bad it was going to kill us until we saw that between him and Julio, we're $80 million, close to $80 million millstone by the cap. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have gotten a quarterback. Me coming in as a head coach, knowing that Matt Ryan is on his way out because, I can't continue to pay him type of money for declining skills. I would have gotten a quarterback. Or traded the pick and got some more things that I wanted with that $18 million that I'm paying this starting, you know, this $18 million total contract that I'm paying this tight end, okay? There were other pieces you could have gotten because, see, I know that you're supposed to win, but there is a price to be paid in order for you to start over. And you need to get the paying on that price just as soon as possible and get it in your rearview mirror, okay? And then start progressing, you know?
I agree, but then again, I think sometimes with these quarterback picks, you got to be careful because I've seen, like, quarterbacks rise up the board just because they're a quarterback, and ultimately that dude didn't have no business going that high anyway. But in the case of Justin Fields, I mean, in hindsight, you got a running quarterback. You know, I mean, if you're going to have a guy, I mean, he's not a great passer by any means yet, but he's a dynamic runner. So if you're going to play this style of ball, he would have been perfect for what we got going on now. You know what I mean? And, you know, but then again, too, besides the quarterback position, I think the next most important position, and, you know, people are going to have their, some people will say left tackle, but to me it's pass rush. So you could have taken a pass rusher and Micah Parsons right there, who can also cover and do a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? And, because the way I feel about this pass rush, guys, is we need to continue to take pass rushers in the first, second, or third round every year until we got a good pass rush. Like, it got to be at least one in the first three rounds every year until our pass rush is a real problem. You know what I mean? Because you can't keep going this way, man. This has been a problem since John Abraham left, and eventually you got to fix that problem if you want to be the best you can be as a football team.
Yeah, it's disturbing that it's been such a long time, almost as much as it has been as far as, like, you know, stuff like, you know, kickoff returns and things of that nature to where, you know, or punt returns, you know, it's been so long since this and that. And it's like, why is that, though? But for the fact that we can't get somebody on a consistent level to get 10 sacks a year, knowing how important that is for a team to have a couple of players that can do that to help your team win, and it's not something that you're good at getting, it's scary. It's scary. It's been such a long time because we've lost a lot of games just because we can't put pressure on the quarterback. We can't do it.
Yep. Not without blitzing. Yep.
Right. And you talk about playing zone, though, Chris. That's one way you can play a little bit of zone. If your front four can get home, that's when you force the quarterback to make quick throws into a zone and you can actually get some turnovers. But I do agree, you know, especially if I think back to earlier this season, we played the Rams. I'm just like, how is this dude Cooper Kupp open every play? It's because we play a zone and he knows how to, where to find the hole in the zone, and we just kept doing it. And so I do think that, you know, you need to build your defense, and that's just my philosophy, but to where you can play more man-to-man, you know, drop both of your safeties back. Sometimes you may use one as a robber. But, you know, zone should be a change of pace, a switch up to give them a different look to try to force a turnover. Shouldn't be the staple of your defense, especially if you don't have a front four that can get home. My bad, John. Go ahead. So you're going to talk about the blitz?
Well, no, you were fine. You were fine. But what I was going to say, and I got a question. Is there any scenario where you would have four men on the line and then drop one off the line into coverage?
I think in a zone defense, that's okay every now and then because, I mean, I've seen, especially when you think back on some of the athletic defensive linemen over the years, guys like Julius Peppers and those type of guys, those guys would actually get an interception in that scenario. But I don't think it's something you want to do all the time. I think it's a change of place, particularly if the quarterback has a tendency to make a hot throw quickly in that same area. Then sometimes as a change of place, you can blitz off one side, drop a lineman off the other side, and force that guy to throw the ball right to that lineman.
Now that's a zone blitz, right?
Yeah.
So that would be more of a zone blitz situation where you –
Now, I don't see no reason to drop a lineman back if you ain't sending no pressure.
And see, that's why I asked the question, because see, now if you're not getting pressure with four, why are you dropping a man back in coverage instead of either keeping four, sending somebody, or just doing, you know, just an all out blitz and we play man? And see, that's what really frustrates me sometimes about how the defense is called and how people are scheming defense, because the Falcons, if you notice, all while Matt Ryan was here, they kept people no further than 5 to 7 yards off the line of scrimmage. And I'm talking about the entire defense, okay? Because Matt Ryan,
whole defense. Dan Quinn's whole defense was keeping guys in the box. Oh, you're talking about the other team. Yeah, because they weren't really
I'm talking about, you know, the opposition, and I was going to bounce back to the defense. And the reason why I went there is because they had scouted Ryan to the extent where they knew he didn't have a deep arm or accurate deep arm. All right?
Right.
So what they did, they didn't go no further than, I would say, about 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, because they figured he was going to throw underneath, okay?
Maybe just one safety that would be back farther than that. But other than that,
it wasn't
a whole lot of too deep look going on. You're right.
Right. So my question was, during those years, okay, why don't we return the favor and send some folk after these folks? Because, see, if they're going to catch the ball anyway, because the front four didn't get home and that quarterback got enough time to shop at Macy's, order dinner from Kentucky Fried Chicken, go get his clothes out the cleaners and all that stuff before he throw the ball. Well, why aren't you sending people after him? I mean, why are you not heating him up?
And you can't using the excuse of personnel, because that's what the guy said he wanted here. So why can't we just run the plays and see what happens at least, rather than not making no adjustments, which we know he didn't do that ever. But that was scary, because it's like we were losing games because of this. Like, we're losing a lot of games just because of just that thought process. And that like I said, it bugged me out, because we should have been a 500 team each of those seasons, and we never were, just because we couldn't stop nobody.
Thing that I do every week, and I get it from profootballreference.com, I post our drive chart. I post our drive chart in the Atlanta Bird Gang group every week and show how many points we left out there on the field. And with that drive chart,
we've been leaving a lot of meat on the ball. John, I posted a picture. You know, if you ever seen somebody who eat wings, but they have all kind of meat left on the wings, the bear that eats the chicken off the wing, and that's our offense right now. That's how much meat we leaving on the bone, sir.
Yeah. And see, thing is, man, don't even talk about them folks that just mangle some chicken wings. They just eat the middle part. You know, and see, and I used to always tell people, look, when you give the dog bones from when I'm eating, dog going to be mad, because I ain't leaving nothing on that gristle and everything else coming off that thing. But like you say, hey, look, and the thing about leaving meat on the bone, look at the time of possession that you held the ball. Sometimes the Falcons won't hold the ball a minute of game time. And you throwing your defense right back out there on the field. Three plays, 7 yards, time of possession, 51 seconds. You punt. Then you come right back, do the same thing three times, three and out, might not have moved, and then you punt the ball again. Okay, now.
That really hurts, because even when you're not scoring, you want to at least get a couple first downs so you can flip the field position.
Yeah, talking thing is, now defense sitting over there, okay, before the man can kneel down there, the position coaches can kneel down there, you get you a little sprig of Gatorade or something, because you thirsty, because, they've been dragging you or you've been dragging them up the field. You come off the field to sit down and rest, and by the time you sit down good, you got to go right back out there on the field, and the offense sits over there for 2-3 minutes, because you out there working on the defense. Offense sit over there for 2-3 minutes because you out there working, because see, they cutting you up, scheming you up, and they scope.
Right.
Come on, okay, offense, let's go, let's get to work. They go out there in less than a minute, they through, they coming on the sideline. I remember in Tampa Bay when Tony Dungy was down there, and I think King was the quarterback. Man, John Lynch said, offense, score. Can y'all get us a score? And, I mean, Tampa Bay had one of the best defenses in the league when Tony Dungy was there. But no offense. And, see, the defensive player used to get mad. Because, see, they were the only ones out there working. And that's what's happening here. And going back to
there'd be times on certain games when they're running it good, when they are giving the defense some rest, and they are controlling the time of possession. But it's just, like I said, to me, and I don't expect on the quarterback to hit on every deep ball or what have you. I know that's not realistic. But if we would just hit on a percentage of them, John, we could really drive our teams crazy, because they have to dedicate so much stuff to stop our run, and we could just make them pay, a few times a game and burn them, then they wouldn't really know how to defend us anymore. But we just can't do it, man. It's like Mariota just doesn't have it in him, and that's why, I'd like to see Ritter, but the thing about it and all the negativity about it, we're still right there in the mix. We're a half game out of first place, because this division is just a bad. It's probably the worst division in football, to be honest with you. And that's another disappointment and frustration that I have, that we are in the worst division in football, and we only have one division win so far this season.
Yeah, and like I said, I predicted that we would win 9 games this season, and there was a point where I was like, well, I'm going to have to give up on this. And then all of a sudden, well, wait a minute, we still can do it, and now here it is. I'm like, well, maybe not. It's like, what do we got to do to at least be consistent? Because we can be. We got the best running game in the league for the most part. You know, we're not that bad on that end. And Mariota has his moments and stuff, but it's like we need more of them. And, again, it's a matter of the fact of he's an 8-year veteran who still can't get us our third down conversion. What's going on with that?
The 8-year rookie is what he is.
He's
like,
not a rookie. Like I said, he's not a first-year player or anything like that. He's had all the opportunities in the world to be able to make a third down throw. We need somebody who can make the quarterback throw. That's what they always have said forever and ever. You got to have somebody who can make those throws. That's how you go through the draft. Who looks like they can make the throw? Because if you don't have that, you can't produce on an NFL-level field. And the fact that now John has told us now that we got coaches who are not even I almost want to drive to Atlanta right now. But anyway, at a certain point, you got to do what's best for who you do have touching the ball the most. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that they have changed it, the offense, to run the ball more and then utilize his legs more is great. But the eventuality is, and I think Jordan mentioned it, once that other team says, okay, we're not going to let y'all do this no more, we're going to put 15 men here in the box and dare you to throw it. 15 people?
Yeah, and there's certain defenses you just, if they decide to do that, you're not going to be able to run successfully on some of the.
No.
And again, it's like, why can't we plan for that? And it's not like we don't have the pass catchers to do it. They have proven that they can get it if you give them the ball somewhere in their vicinity, as John alluded to earlier. At a certain point, accuracy does freaking matter. It just does, you know, because you can't come back from games without being able to do that. You know what I'm saying? Not on a regular basis. And we have that positioning to be able to do that with a lot of the teams that we play. We should be 2 games above 500 right now. Maybe
it's not better than that, honestly.
Yeah, because, see, most of our losses have been self-inflicted. Most of our losses have been self-inflicted. Yeah, somebody jumps offside. Somebody fumbles the ball.
Gosh, man.
And I don't know.
What a terrible way to end the ball game, man.
Yeah. And I don't
what
understand
it? It actually,
what's going
what,
on.
Running into the kicker or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, was that us? We may have. Okay, now I'm looking at poor old Grady Jarrett. Poor old Grady Jarrett. I mean, they know he's the only thing that we got on the defensive line. They holding him. They grabbing him. They wrestling him down to the ground. He Tom Brady down like a baby in a manger, and you still call roughing the pants on him. Man, look. I think I was in Corpus Christi, Texas, driving on my way to Las Vegas, and I saw that in a bar down there amongst all those Cowboys fans, and they said, and they was hollering just like me, "Come on, man!
Right.
that ain't no pack." But
I just don't even know what more he could have done on that play. And we talked about that before. But I mean, it's like, the man was running away from him, so he just tackled the guy and kind of rolled him over. He didn't hit his head, didn't hit him in the head. The man didn't hit his head on the turf or anything. Like, gosh, man, that's just so frustrating.
Yeah. And see, as far as the record was concerned, see, I had said 4-14. And the Falcons, I was saying they were going to be 10-point underdogs in the bye week.
I had 6-11 is what I had. I had 6-11.
Y'all, I remember the old joke. And somebody told me a long time ago. He said, "Man, shoot, Falcons can't beat nobody." He said that the last score that they had was I-20, Falcons 7.
Oh my goodness! Really? Okay. I made my prediction initially on the basis of what we did the year before with what we didn't have, okay, and then knowing that it couldn't be worse and we were going to get some people, whether it be free agency into the draft and Matt's coming back to actually have Pitts and whoever we got as a wide receiver, and then I guess, you know, with Ridley and everything, and then who – that never happened, of course, obviously, right? So, but then after they still did what they got, I was like, well, wait a minute. I still think we could win 9 games if Mariota would play right. And then the beginning of the season happened. I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sticking with my prediction one way or the other because I made it. So I'm still hoping we can do it because I still – I mean, heck, I think we're going to have to win a division to outright get to the playoffs just because how the conference is.
Oh, yeah.
Technically. But yeah, I still definitely think we can do it. Now, what we do in the playoffs is one thing or another, but at least you're in there, you have a shot to do something. Because that's the whole point. To have a shot to do nothing, don't do you no good.
I'll take that back, though, Chris. It might be a chance to sneak in. Probably going to have to win the division, but, I mean, when you really look at the NFC, a lot of these teams, I mean, 6-5, you know what I mean? 7-4, 7-5, I mean... That's what's so frustrating, that we've lost so many one-score games. And really, outside of Philadelphia, Minnesota, and now San Francisco, they're starting to come on. Maybe Dallas is okay. Like, but it's really not a lot of great teams in the NFC. A lot of the teams who you expected to be good, like Green Bay, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, the Rams, they're struggling. Arizona's struggling. So,
yeah.
Really, it's there to be had.
Like I said, for me, I'm not really upset and I'm not really excited because I had calculated this as year 3 of a rebuild. Okay. So I really don't playoffs. I feel that we would probably be round victims either in a wild card game or in a divisional game. And because of the fact that we can't do anything but run, that's the only thing we can do is run. If we need to pass, say, for instance, it gets down to the game where, you know, we have to pass because it's a 3rd and 12 or something of that nature, I have no faith that we can convert anything like that. I really don't.
That's a problem. And that's why, I mean, I just don't. I mean, after this, man, is it possible that Desmond Ridder is just terrible? Or is he just not, does he not understand the offense? Because otherwise, I don't see how he could be worse. Now, granted, a lot of the action we saw from him in the preseason was against 2nd and 3rd team dudes, with the exception of, I think, Detroit, that he played against the starters. But just seeing some of the things, he could do a better job than what we're seeing right now out of Mariota.
Yeah, and do you remember when Chris Chandler was here, Michael Vick had just gotten drafted,
yes.
How Dan Reeves worked him in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like what more recently Taysom Hill gave Taysom Hill, like New Orleans,
yeah,
gave Taysom Hill some packages. You
some
know,
packages,
you go in and,
yeah,
run this, and you come,
yeah,
on out.
You're right. That is exactly what Dan Reeves did with Michael Vick's first year in the league. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, this is the thing, and one of the reasons that I mentioned that they're both rookies. Neither of you are making starting quarterback money. You haven't been designated the franchise quarterback. So, number one, the narrative a lot of people were saying was that once you put him in, you can't take him out. I said, why you can't?
Right.
There should be no ego to bruise. There should be no problem. You're following the coach's instructions because both of y'all, you know, in the vernacular, both of y'all down by law. You know, you don't have no job.
You haven't
invested
no first line to nobody or none of that.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah. So you go in, I want you to go in and run this package here right there. And I'm not talking about just handing off the ball. I want you to go out there and, okay,
5 yard out to this particular person, or if you don't throw the ball into the ground, or something of that nature. Because the thing is, any other way,
whatever his strongest throws are, you want to call that, you know what I mean, for him, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're going to call some quarterback runs for him. You're going to call some running plays when he's in there. But when you do throw, you want to call like if he's good at throwing the post corner, you want to have that in the route, you know, within the route combination. So, yeah, I feel you. Tailor it to him. You know, make it easier for him. Simplify it.
Yeah. You know, and see, the thing is that, okay, shoot. Get exotic. Put them both in there. Put them both in the backfield. You know, because the thing is that they both can run.
Right.
I mean, I'm just thinking outside of the box.
My point about one of the reasons why I say you can make a change, because you don't lose. Like I said, the running quarterback being in there helps our running game. You don't lose that when you put Ritter in there, because he can run too. The defense still has to honor him. Defense still can't just crash down and leave the back door wide open. Otherwise, he could take off. So, you know, I don't really get it. And I talk about simplifying it for the rookie. But really, they're doing that now. There's some play-action stuff that we were running earlier this season. We don't even run no more because we don't trust Barry Odom to turn this back to the defense. Instead of running the play action off that, we'll do a straight quick drop back when we try to throw that particular play now. Like, if you pay attention, you see what Coach Smith has simplified stuff for Mariota as the season's gone along. Am I wrong, John?
You know, I can't really say, because some of these throws that Mariota has made. Mariota has made some throws that will give you pause and give you a thought that maybe he could do more. Maybe. You know, because he's completed some really brilliant throws, okay?
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, say, for instance, it's a quick pass here or a quick pass there with nobody in front of you. Okay, if nobody between you and the receiver, boom, he's put it on him.
Right.
But that's why I was making such a fuss about the quarterback coach, because, see, this man is not going to progress unless somebody is helping him to progress, okay?
Right.
Unless you doing something in practice and trying to train and teach this person, because, see, okay, he may be an eight-year veteran, but he hasn't played all 8 years, okay? And I think he's only 28. Mariota's only 28 years old. So the old dog can be taught some new tricks, but you got to have somebody that knows some new tricks, knows how to perform those new tricks, to teach them those new tricks. And when you – I mean, and this is a mess, Jordan and Chris. Okay, you got a former quarterback coach / coordinator. What is he doing? Because, see, now Arthur Smith is calling all the plays now. But you got an offensive coordinator over there.
That is true.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Okay. Now, you got a wide receiver coach that used to be a quarterback coach. Now, the only thing I can figure out, gentlemen, is that these people were just drag-alongs. Hey, man, I'm going to take this job in Atlanta. You want to come be my quarterback coach? Sure, I'll come down there.
By Terry, though, as the general manager and over everything.
Yeah.
I think they give the head coach a lot of leeway on who he brings in on his staff. But
at the same time, there's people who get terminated during the season. It might not be the head coach. It might be somebody else. So why can't that happen with us? That's all I keep saying.
No, that's a good point.
But the thing is, look.
The thing is, let me complete that point. The thing is, though, we're so backwards is that we be hiring coaches before we even hire a GM and all kind of stuff like that, too, though. So, you know, it just presents those type of problems.
Yeah.
because, okay, now that you brought that up, Jordan. All right.
Right.
Who gets fired if this doesn't go right? Who all get if this doesn't go right? Because, see, look, general manager going to say, look, you hired him before you hired me.
Right. You didn't give me a chance
okay.
to bring in my guy. Right.
Yeah. This ain't the man I want. Because, see, really, really and truthfully, okay, now I know how the Giants did it. Okay, Wellington Mara, owner, he hires George Young, general manager. Mm-hmm. George Young, I need a Super Bowl in 5 years. Are you fine? Now, that's the way they talk to each other in New York. They'll chop
right.
the head off in a heartbeat, okay?
Right.
Okay, George Young get Bill Parcells, okay? Parcells come, brings him that Super Bowl. Okay, Young, you get another 5 years because you got me a Super Bowl. Okay?
Right.
Now, same thing with, okay, looking at us. Okay, now, I don't know whether Arthur Smith was on the radar when they went to the AFC Championship or whether they had any type of deal or anything worked out as far as getting Arthur Smith, but I think New Orleans was in the playoffs too in the NFC,
yeah.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And what game did they lose? They lose to Minnesota who?
I think it was one of those years they lost to Minnesota because they lost to Minnesota in back-to-back years. If I'm not mistaken, I know
it was one in the championship and one in the first round, wasn't it?
They got beat by Diggs on the last second play that was incredible. Then they lost on a touchdown to Kyle Rudolph at the end of one of the games. But then they also lost on that non-pass interference call that year when they was putting billboards up in Atlanta crying about the call because the Super Bowl was here that year. So, I think it was one of the years they lost to Minnesota, but they were a playoff team, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, and you know, I don't know how that worked or what exactly happened as far as why the timing was. They did hire the coach before they hired the general manager.
They did.
Now, going back to these coaching positions, there were a lot of people talking about the strength and conditioning coach for the Falcons during the time that Dan Quinn was here. So what did those people – I mean, I was hearing it from everybody, and it made sense. You go look at the strength and conditioning coach if the strength and conditioning of your team is bad. You know, your wide receivers getting passes snatched out their hands in the scrum after a fumble, you down on the ground, you can't hold on to the ball. Okay, you need to get on the Smith machine for a week.
He got like a bunch of the same type of injuries, like a bunch of soft tissue injuries or something like that, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you look at the strength and conditioning coach. Now, I'm using that same narrative or that same process of elimination when I look at a quarterback or I look at a wide receiver or I look at a running back. I'm looking at the coach of that position. Okay?
Right.
So now,
I'm looking at the position coach and the offensive coordinator and, in our case, the head coach, too, because he's an offensive guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really a three-person thing. But, yeah, you started the position coach and worked your way out, in my opinion.
Well, let me say this. I think as far as just the question itself, as far as who takes the brunt of it or whatever, it depends on what their definition of how this is supposed to be going in the win. I don't think we've gotten that far yet as far as that goes just yet, because I don't know what I don't know who even I'm talking about sometimes at this point, but I don't think we're there just yet unless we go the rest of this season and let's just say we lose out the rest of these games. Like, we don't have a chance in the world. Because Mariota didn't lose this particular game, but there's a lot of other games we know it was his fault that we lost the game, right? So if we lose the rest of our games this season and it's primarily on him, that's a decision to where, okay, well, Arthur said he wasn't going to switch quarterbacks no matter what, right? And Terry let him do it, right? So at that point, Arthur has to make some decisions right there. Now, let's say if it's just the defense itself that just we can't win a game because the defense just can't stop nobody no matter what the offense does, then we got to look at it from that perspective a little bit, right? So I think it'll be at the end of this season, they won't let year three just go without no major changes, I think, based off of these last five games of this season.
Right.
And, go ahead, Jordan. Go ahead, John.
Real quick before you go, John, I was just going to say, I really think had Tampa Bay won their game last week, and then if we turn around and lost this week too, and Tampa wins, or I think they may be off this week. But I think if you were starting to see Tampa get a little separation, I think we were probably looking at maybe seeing Ritter after the bye week, which is week 14, and seeing Ritter for these last three games. But with us still being in the mix, I'm not sure that we do see him at all, which presents a problem because now, you know, do we look at another quarterback? Because we don't really know what we have in the kid. I mean, I guess they know from practice, but I don't think you can really get a true gauge from that. I don't know. It's interesting. Go ahead, John.
The only thing, okay, all of what I've said about the positions and the coaches
right.
of said positions, if I'm an HR manager, and Chris, I know you can relate to this, so you chime in if I'm going astray. If you're looking at resumes, I got a man over here that quarterback high school, quarterback college, quarterback coach, assistant offensive coordinator, all this on this side, and I got a man that wide receivers. No, excuse me. Coach the defense, coach running backs, coach tight end. At the resume stage, applicant number two is disqualified because applicant number one beats him seven ways to Sunday. So as far as this is concerned, this is done at the application stage. Sir, I can't interview you. Your qualifications are not what we're looking for. Have a nice day. You know, you go on about your business. This is what I'm saying about the situation here. Because if you hired this man, Arthur Smith, because you knew him and that's the only reason you hired him and you just stuck him in a position, you're going to get to pay for that. Because, see, this man is going to be scapegoat number one. Just like you remember what Dan Quinn did in order to save his job. he chopped off every head he could chop off except his. In order to save his job, all of the assistants, Marquand, Manuel, who else was it? Everybody, well, all offense coordinator too, okay? In order to save his job. And see, that's what's going to happen here. That's what's going to happen here. Possibly next year, Chris, like you said, some type of change is going to have to be made. Because, see, the thing is that you're supposed to be seeing progression. You know, man, this football season is almost over, gentlemen. Five weeks left. It went so quick.
Yeah, it did. Five games, 6 weeks. That's all that's left.
That's all you got left in the qualification round is six more weeks, okay?
Yep.
Now, okay, some decisions are definitely going to have to be made about where you're going from here, okay? Now, to that point, you have not, quote-unquote, because, see, I'm still hearing, and you know, Arthur Smith is kind of cagey, too. Because thing is that, okay, he said under no circumstances are he just like Chris just said, under no circumstances am I going to make a quarterback change, okay? He also said that because they did ask him about 4 weeks ago, you ever thought about bringing Ritter in about this or whatever? Well, the only thing he's going to do is hand the ball off. What you're going to do when you bring the man in, why are you bringing him in? Because, see, now handing the ball off, you don't – look. Like my boss used to say, a trained monkey can hand off the ball. Okay?
Right.
But you need
if you're going to bring another quarterback in, that quarterback has got to be ready to do everything a quarterback is supposed to do. That's throw, especially throw, because that's what I want to see. That's what everybody wants to see. That's what you need to see, how this man performs throwing the ball. Okay? So,
yeah, because running is a bonus, but I still believe that the key aspect of the quarterback position is distributing the football through the air to your weapon. You know what I mean?
That's the job. That's the job. And the eventuality is going to be at that point. Then if you didn't think he could do it, why was he drafted at all then? And are we going to have to – would Mariota have to have an injury? Or what are we going to do, put Felipe Franks in there?
Oh, gosh.
That's the scary part. That's what I'm saying. It's like, well, if you don't have no confidence that he can't make the quarterback throws that you need to make, and the majority of our losses are based on the fact that we can't even convert on third down on a regular basis, then where are we at? Because now we will be forced to get another quarterback in the draft, and that person ain't going to play either. Is that what we're saying? See, it's a terrible precedent, because that's not what other teams do in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So why do we, it's kind of like going back to the Hawks. Why we have to be regulated to not do what all the other successful teams do just because? We don't have an X and O guy? That ain't cool to hear. Not out loud. You know what I'm saying? So where are
right.
we supposed
but,
to
hey, talk hey, Chris, and it's hard to hide from people like us. It's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard to hide from people like us. And then when we discover it, oh, we kicking and screaming like a baby. But what the hell? You know, I mean, we going off because it's so obvious.
Right. I mean, at this point, though, guys, I mean, do you even go there? Do you even try to spin another pick? Because you're right, though. It's interesting because, I understand Pittsburgh, they were going to bring that rookie along slow, quick. But as soon as Mitchell Trubisky got him there and started throwing games away, they made a switch. You know what I mean? And Kenny Pickett's been starting ever since. You know what I mean? Right, great, but I mean, he's learning, he's progressing. You know what I mean? So, I mean, at this point, I wonder, do you even look quarterback in the draft? Do you? I mean, we're gonna have some of the most salary cap space out there. Okay, we could just as sure use our draft pick this year and then turn around and take some of our future draft picks and send them to Baltimore and go get a Lamar Jackson. I mean, if you want to just run the football anyway, I mean. That's got to be something you consider because he's going to it's going to be a much more dynamic, explosive runner, and he can actually make some of the throws. And one thing we know about him is he will use his tight end. We do know this. You know what I mean? So
I'll say this. We got to end the show soon, guys. It's going to be a roll of the dice to not. It's so tough because we just don't know. And usually when you making a decision to draft a quarterback is because you know you don't have the guy in the current year, right? And you're going to have that guy playing soon. You know what I'm saying? So if Ridder ain't the guy, like how many quarterbacks are we going to have on the roster at a certain point? And how long is Mariota signed for? I don't know. But if he's not the guy of the future.
He's got one more year.
So I guess
that's an option.
Yeah, that would be messed up to get rid of not have him play.
Be
another quarterback, not have multiple That would be terrible. So that's where it comes down to is, like, are we going to have to actually lose a really bad game for you to put Ridder in? But then, you're however many games out at that point, you say you want to try to be in it. You can't have it both ways. You're either trying to be in it or you're not. But you can't have it both ways to be like, well, I'm not going to make no changes no matter what.
I contend that you might have a better chance to win with Ridder. That we might actually have a couple more wins right now if Ridder would have been. Maybe. I don't know. We don't know.
I would like to, because see, here's the deal. When you're playing a rookie quarterback, you, by default, you know and have an expectation that it might not be that great. But you know that because he's a rookie. All the rookies have had that, whether it be Peyton Manning, whether it be Eli, whether it be whoever, right? And then you go from there, right? But for us to not even know or find out, and he wasn't a sixth-round quarterback drafted. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't picked number 247 or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? He is one of the highest winning quarterbacks of all time in college football. He can't be all about that. Right? Yeah. So we kind of need to know because the current quarterback can't get 200 yards in a game passing. He can't do it. He hasn't done it. I think once, maybe, right? So that doesn't win you a whole heck of a lot of games unless you really have a great running game and or really great defense,
right?
Either or. If we don't really have a great defense, we have a running off. We have a good running game, though, on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you really
but we can't take advantage of it because we can't convert the third down.
Right. If you're going to play that style of ball, I think you really need both. It's not an either-or thing. You got to be able to run that ball and really stop teams if you're going to play that style of football. But you brought up a good point, Chris. It's like this guy was not like he's a fifth or sixth round draft pick. And so if you turn around and you move on and go draft a different quarterback or go trade for a quarterback like a Lamar, it's like, well, why didn't you just go ahead and take a defensive lineman or offensive lineman with the sort of third round pick that you use on this quarterback there? You know what I mean? Because it's not like this football team doesn't have other areas of need. John, your thoughts, sir, on all of that plus like maybe should we either like go after Lamar in the offseason if we're going to play the style of football, go all the way out with it? Like, what are your thoughts, sir?
Brief thought, John.
Well, I don't want to mortgage the farm to go and get a quarterback. I would say no. I would see what it is that's out there because, see, later, now listen, gentlemen, the skilled quarterback position is going to go away because just about everybody is running this read option and running. And the skill of being able to throw out of the pocket, see, the number of schools that are doing that, that's starting to dwindle. So I don't like it, and it doesn't bode well for quarterbacks coming into the league unless they bring those offenses with them. And this is what has happened up there in Chicago with Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to put a square peg in a round hole, they rounded off the edge of the off of their head, okay, and made the offense to go with his strengths.
Yep.
And see, you know, and quarterbacking, the art of quarterbacking and the art of throwing, if we doing what we doing as far as the quarterback is concerned, I don't care who we bring in, that's not going to work. You know,
yeah.
under the present regime and the way that they're running things, I don't see that working no matter who it is that we bring in here.
I think we need a better quarterback coach regardless, but second, if we're going to run the football, why not bring in the guy who's the most dynamic runner since Michael Vick? I mean, you know, and the fact of the matter is he can make throws. It ain't like he can't throw at all. Like, he's going to involve his tight end. I promise you, if Lamar's here, Kyle Pitts gets 1,000 yards with Lamar quarterback.
Hey, guys. I hate it, but I got to try to end the show because otherwise they'll just go dead on us. So we'll have to leave it on that. Those who got to listen to this or will listen to this after the fact because this wasn't live streaming, hopefully you enjoyed the football talk. Hopefully you enjoyed the three-hour show. Didn't anticipate that, but we got a three-hour show in first time in years. Make sure you follow the IMTN Worldwide Radio page on YouTube. You can follow myself and Jordan on Twitter, Intellect ATL and Jordan23ATL. Make sure you follow the Originated Brand on Instagram. Make sure you go get you a shirt. And don't forget, you got some people who are going to be able to get some tickets this year to the Hawks game, College Park, get some shirts from Originated Brand. Thank you for your support. John, thanks for tuning in tonight and chipping in. appreciate your time as well. Jordan, go ahead and let people know your usual send-off before we go.
Yeah, certainly appreciate it, John. Though we didn't anticipate doing this long or so, but, man, it's always that great football and basketball talk, chopping it up with your brother. That being said, man, we want to thank everybody out there for listening to us, those who caught the live portion as well as this additional bonus podcast portion. And last but not least, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta, these Georgia sports that I love.
Thanks, everyone.